This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
To be nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA team podcast as we now get ready for the NBA draft, one of my favorite events of the year. And I'll be joined by my regular co-host for this big old preview. It might be a bigger preview than other episodes. We try to limit things to under an hour, maybe a shade after, but I have no problem admitting that we might go a little long here because it's going to be going through all the picks both rounds. But I've got my buddy here to help me out with all these picks. We got 60 of them here, and I am joined by Adam Murray.
Yeah, I know when you give me, you send me a message saying it's NCAA team time. Yeah. I know, look, just block out my schedule. We're not going to even be close to an hour on this one.
Well, I've got my college basketball love. You know, it's like I've always said, NBA is my first love. It's the first thing I really latched onto as a kid. But it was almost like it's, you know what's weird though? I love college basketball more after I got out of college, if that makes any kind of sense. Like, I went to a college at University of New Orleans, which has some history in basketball. You know, Irvin Johnson, Wayne Cooper. But there, it wasn't like a place where it was like the basketball. It was a very festive basketball atmosphere. Like, people followed the teams. But it seemed like once I got out of college and I had more leisure, that I just liked college basketball, like, almost as much as the NBA, if not sometimes more.
Well, it's because the atmosphere is better as opposed to having people who paid $10,000. You have a student in the front row who's cheering. Mm-hmm. You have kids who want to play as opposed to, it's a long season. We'll just sort of pace ourselves. And
yeah. Did you like the new final schedule where they stretched it out with the 2 days in between? Did it feel like it dragged it out at all, or did it build anticipation?
It didn't, it's hard to build anticipation if really the first five games were all duds.
A lot of them were duds. I mean, the margin of victory in almost all of the games in the NBA Finals were staggering.
Yeah, so it was just like, okay, they blew them out. Oh, it's not over yet? What game are we on? It's only on game three? Shouldn't we be done? No. Oh, it's just there was no reason to stretch it out as long as they did. Although we need to get the, Fridays 1 week, then Saturday the next week,
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining about a seven-game NBA Finals. Those are great. I mean, I want to reiterate this for people before we get started with the draft. I cannot tell you how lucky we are as fans that we've had three game sevens in the last 7 years. That is rare. The first one of that three that I was talking about, 2010. If you want to count 2005, you can, but that's about 12 years or 11 years removed. But in 2010, the Celtics and the Lakers had a bit of a rock fight, 83-79. And then in 2013, you had, the Heat and the Spurs, 95-88, and then this one. So it's just, it's really – we are very lucky to be in that position where we can see these elimination games because they don't happen often. I think in the 80s, they only happened twice.
Well, it doesn't – all because you have a game seven in any sport doesn't mean it's essentially going to be a good game. Mm-hmm. Think back to the Clippers collapse, against the Rockets. Oh, that was a game – well, there was just – that wasn't even a game. Mm-hmm. So you get, we got a game seven. Oh, it still turned out to be a stinker. So,
we'll see. We'll have more time to talk about maybe like finals roundup on another episode. But we want to focus here on the NBA draft for this occasion. With no offense to the Cavaliers or their Golden State Warriors, but let's go ahead and just kind of get rolling with the NBA draft. What's the thing you are excited the most about? Not just this year's draft, but just any draft in general when you get to around this time. Is it the prospects and looking at what they could potentially do, maybe watching them in summer league, or is it maybe the possibility of really crazy trades that happen at least two or three times a year?
Well, the trades have gotten out of hand to the point where it's like, why am I even watching the draft if every other pick is going to be traded? you know, they traded 13 for 15, and they traded a second-round pick with this pick, and this pick, and this pick. It's like, well, who's where? Just, I'll read the recap at the end. Now, this year's draft is more intriguing because nobody has a clue. There's no expert who's like, I've got everything pinned down. I've seen people who've gone in the lottery and who've gone in the second round in other drafts. So in nobody has a clue.
I think there's two. And if you could argue in this case, you know, there's always a consensus five. Like every time you get down to the nitty gritty and you get to the final week before the draft, you can kind of figure out who the top five are probably, or the top four are probably going to be. I think this year one and two is set. And then after that, it gets, like you're saying, it gets kind of intriguing. There's a lot of fluidity. There's a lot of big guys in this draft. Power forward and center, for some reason, are really well stocked. Point guard is thin once you get past like two or three people. So at the guard spot, you're not sure who's going to go from. I don't know if some of these guys will even get picked, but we'll do our little fantasy draft of our own. For Adam and myself, we've done this in different ways before where we've made our own picks. This year, we're going to come to a consensus, try to come to a compromise, which might be hard in some cases, and then see what we can figure out about these draft positions going from 1 all the way to 60. And we'll just go ahead and kick it off at number 1 with the Philadelphia 76ers. Was the season even worth it just for the fact that they won that number 1 pick?
No, the season is a mess. The team is even more a mess. If you're, you know, trust the process, okay, either Nerlens or Okafor are going to be traded, then why do we even bother playing the last two seasons if our two cornerstones are already available for trades? Why are we even, you know, you've put your fans through 3 years of misery. You're going to get, you know, you're getting Ben Simmons, which everybody wanted. And, oh, he underachieved, but there was no reason to achieve where he was.
Do you think they feel like there's a clog there and that's why they have to move either Noel or Okafor so that they can make room for Embiid? Or is it just one of those things where they just want to freshen things up before they make this pick?
Well, you should have realized you had a clog before you started drafting all power forwards.
I know. I mean, you know, Saric also, which is the same year as Embiid, which really threw people for a loop. And, you know, Okafor, he quietly had a very good rookie year. I don't really want to go out of my way and say that Okafor was bad. You know, I thought he had a good rookie year.
He had a good year. It's just, well, teams don't want the under the rim center anymore. They want the Draymond Green, 6'9", high flying power forward who can play center if he needs to.
But it's funny because Steven Adams and Enes Kanter are kind of sort of those back to the basket centers in some ways. And they sat there and they just tore apart the Golden State Warriors, almost beat them in 7 games.
Well, it's just, you know, people go and buy into the fads of this is now the trendy thing, so we all need to do it. We all need to go small. Then you wait for a beast, like another Shaq, to come along. Oh, now everybody needs big men to stop Shaq. And it's just everybody needed superior point guards. Now point guard crop is pretty much decimated and things go in cycles. So
Shaquille O'Neal was a number 1 pick in 1992 to the Magic out of LSU. Do you see another number 1 pick out of LSU this year in the 2016 draft for the Sixers?
I don't see any reason for them not to take him.
Now, we're obviously speaking about Ben Simmons, the freshman one and done out of LSU.
There's no, do they need him? No, but you take the best player, and if he's the best player, you know, that you could build around, you start building around him. And, you know, it, like you've noticed, you know, you notice closely, he sort of gave up at the end as other teammates were just horrible and selfish and the coach was a wreck. And
the LSU season, I'm an LSU fan, but I'll keep my bias out of it. LSU season was a disaster, an absolute disaster. You know, there was rumors of jealousy between the teammates with Ben and, you know, the other guys like Tim Quarterman and you know, Craig Victor and, you know, newcomers like that, that, you know, the people who were already on the team didn't really care for. You know, Simmons' numbers were fantastic. He averaged like 9 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals and a block. And he was incredible, I mean, in terms of the statistics. But on the court, there is an issue there of like personal motivation whether he needs a kick in the ass when he gets to the NBA of, you know, being more aggressive. Do you have any kind of worries about that with Ben Simmons? I mean, in terms of talent, he's a surefire number one. He was a surefire number one before the college season even began. But were there any worries that came to you after the season was over?
No, because people have nothing but time to pick apart these picks. And, you know, you have to take the Simmons season first non-conference versus conference. In conference, everything fell apart. He became disinterested. You watch some of the non-conference games where he was doing triple doubles every night. Yeah, you know, he's making passes, shooting here. Oh, his jump shot seemed fine in the non-conference games. Then, you know, Quarterman wants to.
He has no jump shot. He just does not have one. It's just a funky release.
It's a funky release, but during the early games, he was knocking them down still, and it was just like, yeah. Wow, that's an unorthodox shot.
But his free throw stance is solid. That's what I'm. You know, when he kind of is stationary, he seems to have some kind of like rhythm to his shot. But once it's in play, it's like it just totally falls apart defensively. There were times where he just didn't even – I'm going to be honest. He didn't even try sometimes. But when he's dialed in, he can make great defensive plays individually. Do you worry about the rumors that he doesn't want to meet with the Sixers leading into the draft?
No, because that's his people who was talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just want to go play. You're like, you know, agents, my people, do what you want. Same thing with, you know, Chris Dunn. Oh, I don't want to go to this team, and this team. And then he came out in an interview saying, no, I'll play for anybody. And it's just the handlers, oh, we're holding out for a better shoe deal. We want this. We want that. So most times it's just like, look, you train, you get physically ready. We'll handle everything. And then his people just seem to be jerks.
Yeah, I mean, and workouts, and I don't even know. He didn't even do measurements at the combine. The measurements that they used when they promoted, when they've been promoting Ben, was from the Nike Hoop Summit when he came out of high school from Montverde. He's originally from Australia, so if you want to cheat and call an international prospect, I guess you can. But he did play in American high school and American college, so he's somewhat acclimated to the college way. You know, for American basketball, he's not like a total export or import. However, what would it be, an export or an import?
Import.
An import. I'm totally messing up on my internationals here, but that's why I got you to help me out. You're going to be my Fran Fraschilla today, right?
Total upside.
And so, the only other thing that worries me is that we talked about how they might be a little overcrowded at the power forward position, even though a team like the Sixers needs help everywhere. They're just awful. But can you naturally put Ben Simmons at 6'10", 239 pounds in the small forward position as sort of a point forward?
Yeah.
Because they do need a small forward. I mean, the forward they had were guys like, you know, Hollis Thompson and Jakar Sampson. I mean, that Robert Covington. I mean, that's not going to cut it. You know, you needed a small forward.
No, you can, you know, you can use, look at, remember, Garnett came in initially as a small forward. Giannis is a point forward at 6'11". Mm-hmm. So to have a big small, you don't, that's, there's nothing wrong with that. He just could be the slasher type and sort of model his game more after Melo as opposed to, well, we just need three-point shooting. And, you know, he has the athleticism to get to the rim, and that won't change. So it'll help the team. It's just the problem is the team was so bare. Just him alone and having no leadership on that team. You see, that's what sunk Okafor was, okay, here you go, you're a pro. Well, who's the leader? Nobody. Oh, well, I'm just going to go drive 100 miles an hour over the Philly Bridge.
And what's good for the Sixers is that they have other firsts. They got a 24, they got a 26. I'm not sure if they got another second down there. If they do, I think they actually traded all of their seconds. But because of the two firsts, they can look for shooting, which they are desperate need of, and maybe another point guard later. But, you know, Ben, safe pick. He was kind of – I don't want to call him a slam dunk at number one, but he was a surefire one or two.
He was always number one, but people want discussion. So now moving on to number two.
We got the Los Angeles Lakers. Now we're finally in the post-Kobe Bryant era. Kobe is done. He scored his 25,000 points against the Jazz in that last game, walked off into the sunset. Byron Scott's gone. Luke Walton is in. They have a few questions in free agency regarding Jordan Clarkson, who's got sort of the Gilbert Arenas provision, I guess they call it, where, you know, he's a second rounder, but they can give him more money on the back end if they extend depending on how much they want to give him. Nick Young will still be there. D'Angelo Russell was their rookie last year, even though he had some tumultuousness from the Snapchat controversy. Russell, he struggled early, and then he sort of got around to playing well. Julius Randle, the same. So there's a little bit of a young core there, but, man, they were just god-awful, 17-65. They only have two picks, and it's going to be this one, which they saved themselves from losing to Philadelphia because they stayed in the top three, and now they're at number two. They didn't get number one, so the likelihood of getting Ben Simmons is not good if, you know, the Sixers get him, but who do you like here if Ben Simmons is off the board?
You are higher on Ingram from Duke than mm-hmm. I am, but he, you know, it's obviously 1 and 2, and all people should be drafting Ingram 1, and Ingram's actually better than Simmons. And it's just, I personally don't see it.
You see that sort of like tunnel vision where people just kind of focus, like, because it always happens. Like, remember Derek Williams? By the time we got to the 2011 draft, everyone was like, oh yeah, you got to take Derek Williams after Kyrie Irving. He's like the next best prospect. You know, you sort of kind of like talk yourself into it.
Basically, and then the comparison, oh, he's totally Kevin Durant. What, because he's 6'9 and a stick? No, he's more like a Melo now. And as I see no strength from him, and I see a very slow shot release.
Now, the Lakers need everything, and it's not just the fact that because Kobe Bryant's leaving at the shooting guard position, because I don't know what he was even providing at the shooting guard position, but, I mean, small forward, size, especially with Hibbert as a free agent. We don't even know if he'll stay in the NBA. They really just have a need everywhere. They also need probably another point guard to help out Jordan Clarkson.
Funny thing is, Kobe leaves, and you have Lou Williams and Nick Young already your backup, you know, shooting guards.
I don't think Nick Young will be on the team next year.
Nobody's going to take him. They're not going to stretch him for...
It's an awful contract because it goes all the way till, you know, it will next year. They got next year, and then in 2017 he has a player option that he can pick up.
Yeah, so they're not going to stretch it for 5 years.
Yeah, they got a lot of questions there. But for Ingram, very young. He's not even 19 yet. 6'9", can play the small forward position. He's a much better shooter than Ben defensively. I would say he's got the ability to be like a clone of Kawhi Leonard. He'll never be as good as Kawhi Leonard if you ask me. You know, I think he reminds me a little bit of Kawhi more than he does Durant. You know, I can see the comparisons with Durant because he's got the low handle. You know, he's a great athlete. He can make threes, but after that, I don't really see that much similarity. I feel like it's more of a similar to like the way Kawhi plays with the San Antonio Spurs. That's what he can max out to be. So, you know, that's not really a bad choice at number two.
But you see, you've already bought into the hype. Oh, he's good. He could be like Kawhi Leonard. No, he can't be defensively because he's just going to get bullied around by every bigger player there is.
So if you don't take Ingram, where are you looking here? Like, just, you know, we're probably going to both agree on Ingram here, but what
else? Oh, you have to take Ingram. He fits the need, but to say he's this, you know, this super ready guy, he's not that athletic. He's not strong. What he has going for him is size, a jump shot, and ball handling.
Yeah, his ball handling is pretty good. You know, he's not perfect, obviously, and he struggled early on, but once he got going, he could be a prolific scorer. He could get to about maybe 25 points in some games. His shooting would bail him out at times. They would always put him on a lot of set shots in that Duke system. I mean, was there anything about Ingram once he was done his 1 year at Duke where you were kind of like... Because, I mean, Okafor was a one-and-doneer. Irving barely played because of a toe injury, but he looked spectacular at times for the Blue Devils. I mean, after he was done, did he seem to be a better player than you thought he was?
No, it was one of those, you had told me, like, okay, beginning of the year, this is your guy to watch. He's going to be, you know, top five pick. And then it was like, okay, I get it. I see how he's dying. But it's just like, well, how are you going to take that again? Just, you know, the big bodies of the NBA.
Yeah. Now let's go ahead and move on to a team that, you know, now the Lakers got spared from not having to do their trade with the Sixers by keeping their pick in the top three. But the Brooklyn Nets had an unprotected pick, so they had to trade theirs to the Boston Celtics thanks to I guess we can agree as eclipse James Harden as like the worst trade in the NBA in the last 5 years. Would you agree?
It was just the Gerald Wallace provision. You want to take 3 years of Gerald Wallace. All right, we'll give you 3 first-round picks to alleviate the worst contract ever. Oh, wait. Oh, there's NBA money where that contract is now a bargain at $10 million.
You can
stretch
it, yeah.
Oh, we're screwed.
Well, Boston played the wait game. They kept a year with Wallace, and then they waited that following year in 2014. Then they stretched him. No, they didn't stretch him.
They just traded him for...
I'm sorry about that. They sent him to the Sixers, and the Sixers stretched him, right?
No, they sent him out for David Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And then David Lee got... Wallace got shipped to the Sixers, and the Sixers just said, we're not going to stretch you. We'll just... Don't play. We have enough capital.
They had a basement that they had to meet, so they found salaries to cut. Their highest paid players were Wallace and JaVale McGee. They weren't even on the team. So, you know, the Celtics' gain was the Brooklyn Nets' loss, but we're not talking about Brooklyn yet. They're in the draft, but they're not in the first round. There's a number of them in the first round that we're not going to be talking about for this one, though. Those ones will be the Nets, the Cavs, the Heat, the Wizards, the Knicks, the Mavericks, the Blazers, and the Thunder. That's actually quite a lot of movement in the first round pre-draft week. But needless to say, the Celtics had a really good year anyway. They do have a few needs to address. You know, defensively, they're not perfect. And then, let's just say that, you know, their shooting defense needs a little bit of work. And then their three-point shooting, it was pretty bad percentage-wise. A couple of holes that they could fill. There's rumors that Avery Bradley might already be on the market. What do you think about that?
Well, Avery Bradley makes the most sense as he was, you know, all NBA defensive team, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the problem with the three-point shooting is not that they were horrible. It's just you had people like Olynyk and Sullinger, and everybody felt the need to take threes, and not everybody should be taking threes. And mm-hmm. basically, the Celtics need size. Everything came down to Amir Johnson. And
yeah, that's another one I had written down. Rim protection is big for the Celtics coming up. So are you looking at size here? Or
the problem is it's all guards now, and nobody has any clue who they're going to – you know, you look at – 5 drafts, you will see 5 different names for the Celtics, and I don't even know if the Celtics, they're just waiting for somebody to panic and be like...
Has there been any tips locally about what Danny Ainge wants to do, or is he keeping it close to the vest? Because he's got oodles of draft picks. He has 8 of them, so, and he's got 2 in the... he's got 3 in the first round, and he's got 2 just past the second round.
No, basically, he's still waiting to hit that home run and try to trade for Butler or Love or...
Yeah, when I heard the Jimmy Butler rumor, I almost fell out of my chair, because if the Bulls trade Jimmy Butler, I mean, if the Celtics actually pull that off, they might be the benefit of 2 of the worst trades in the history of... I don't understand why the Bulls would even think about that.
I don't get that either, but, you know, I
dumb
have
things
no...
happen, you know?
If you're looking to rebuild, may you fall in love with somebody, I don't know, and nobody, even the people here in Boston don't have any clue as, you know, even versions of drafts. What are the Celtics doing? Nobody knows. Everybody seems to be giving up on the third pick. Like, let's just talk about the other two, because we can sort of figure that one out. But
by this point, you know, the top 2 small forwards are gone, but you've got... The best point guards available was, you know, the best point guard naturally that we have on the board is Chris Dunn out of Providence. Then in shooting guard, you got Jamal Murray from Kentucky and Buddy Hield from Oklahoma that a lot of people like. And then at power forward, you got Dragan Bender, the young player out of, let me see where he's from, Croatia. He's not even 19 years old, but he's 7'1". I don't think they're looking for a center, even though they do need help at center. So what do you see here?
Oh,
I'll give you the floor with this pick, since it's your team.
The only consensus it seems to come down to is between Hield, Chris, and reason they like Dunn.
No,
Bender seems to be out. People here think.
I was about to say, I didn't know if you meant Chris as in Chris Dunn or Chris isn't Dunn, but now you just said it's Marquise Chris, Buddy Hield, and Chris Dunn.
Yeah, although I personally would lobby for cousin Jamal.
Jamal Murray from Kentucky, originally came from Canada.
I would I would personally lobby for him.
I am begging that he falls to six to the Pelicans, which is my team.
But it's just the more it seems to be, I think it's going to be Chris or Hield.
Okay, so you have Marquese Chris and Buddy Hield. If I had to go between the two, I would probably go with Buddy Hield.
That's what the consensus seems to be, as apparently he lit it up in an L.A. workout for them and hit like 80 three-pointers for them.
Well, that was his money thing in college. He was a great shooter. I mean, not a good shooter, a great shooter.
And that's what they need. They tried last year with R.J. Hunter. They tried 2 years ago with James Young, and neither of them will probably be on the team next year.
Yeah, and between him and Dunn, the age is right there. They're both 22 years old, and Buddy Hield is 6'5". He was actually playing a lot of small forward at Oklahoma because, remember, they had two other key guards on that team, Jordan Woodard and Isaiah Cousins. So they would play Hield a lot at the small forward position or at the off-guard position where he was just waiting for shots for open shots either on the corner or at the elbow for threes. You know, he had his money spots, but athletically, you know, Buddy Hield's okay. I wouldn't call him great, you know, and he does have moments where he sort of gets into a funk. But like all shooters do, Jamal Murray had a really awful game against Indiana in the NCAA tournament.
Buddy Hield's like Harden. He'll just shoot it, and that's all he knows how to do. And he's
got very good dribbling ability. He can shake people. It's not a bad pick. You know, my problem with Buddy is that I think what you see is the best you're going to get out of him. That's my one problem. I felt like he maxed himself out at Oklahoma. Whereas, and maybe even Chris Dunn too, whereas Jamal Murray, we ain't seen the best yet. You know?
Yeah, so I'm just going to be safe. I'm going to go with it's going to be Hield, although it's not what I want, but that seems to be a little safer pick.
This one's the mystery pick for me, the Phoenix Suns at number four. Obviously, like a lot of these picks in the lottery, their teams in the lottery, unless they made them through trades. Bad year. Tyson Chandler, awful contract that they can't get themselves out of unless they just give them a stretch provision or if they can just miracle a trade out of it. Eric Bledsoe had an injury. Brandon Knight got a later injury. Jeff Hornacek got fired, and they retained Earl Watson as the head coach going forward. A few bright spots like Devin Booker, the rookie. Alex Len still got to develop. You know, the team needs I have here for the Suns are small forward, and then they have a lot of free agents at the power forward position. You know, John Luer might be gone. I'm not sure if P.J. Tucker is the answer at the small forward spot. And then defensively, they need a lot of help too. So there's a few different avenues you could go here. And I don't really think that, you know, McDonough, the GM, is really giving himself away of what they want to do. So I think small forward is the best bet, but what do you see?
If we all want a good laugh, you pick the guard from Kentucky, as that's all they seem to get.
Okay, so they could have Devin Booker and Jamal Murray.
Devin Booker, Jamal Murray.
As your corner.
Brandon Knight, Archie Goodwin.
Eric Bledsoe.
Eric Bledsoe. Yeah, all they get are Kentucky guards. So that's what, you know, that would just be, I would just laugh all night on that one. But it seems, you know.
Now, let me say this. Now, Jaylen Brown is the next best small forward prospect after Simmons and Ingram. He didn't have a great year at Cal, even though he had a lot of hype coming out of high school. But a lot of people really like Jaylen Brown. They think that even though at 6'7 and 233 is a really good frame for a small forward. It means he's strong. But at 6'7, he might be shorter, but he's not even 20 years old yet. And he's got a lot of game to him. You were one of the first ones to tell me that you really liked Jaylen Brown when you saw him at Cal.
Well, that's what I was, you know, I'm like, I need to see him. Obviously, he played better with Ivan Robin there, but I don't see them going. He was the high riser, and now buzzes seem to cool off on him, and he seems to be going back down the charts, whereas Marquese Chris seems to be the riser.
Yeah, because the word out with Chris out of Washington, a one-and-done player, along with his teammate DeJounte Murray, who's a point guard. Chris is like a tremendous freak athlete. You know, he could jump out the gym kind of guy.
He's a freak athlete, but he really didn't do anything good there.
He was a great rebounder, you know.
Yeah, that's what we've seen with Tyrus Thomas and who was the other LSU guy?
Well, there was Glenn Big Baby Davis, and there was Stromile Swift back in 2000. Jordan Mickey last year.
Yeah, Mickey last year. But he just, you know, that, well, you're an athletic, well, you could run up and down the court, but you don't shoot. He didn't rebound super well. And I think, you know, I'll defer to you on this one, but I think the safe bets are either Chris or Bender, depending upon, do you want the home run? Do you want the, you know, a nice developmental guy?
I know Alex Lynn came from Maryland, but he was a Lithuanian prospect originally. Ukrainian. I'm sorry about that. Thank you for correcting me, Frank Fraschilla. And so, you know, I don't know if they have reservations about picking Bender. I don't think Bender is a bad pick necessarily. I think Chris Dunn is a great pick if you want to go at three with the Celtics, but it's just one of those situations where it goes by need and they don't need a point guard right now. So Dunn stays again. Murray again, like we were talking about, picking another shooting guard out of Kentucky would be kind of hilarious. Brown is a reach at this point, I would agree with. I would have to say that they'll probably go with the athlete and go with Chris at the big spot. You know, I think it's – I don't want to call it a safe pick. It actually is kind of a reach if you look at where Chris was projected to go and where he's going now. It's almost like that happened with Deion Waiters when he came out of Syracuse. A lot of people liked him, but when he got picked fourth by the Cavs, people were kind of stunned.
Well, the thing is, everybody's like, well, oh, if he went to UNC or Duke, he'd be, you know, a top three pick. But in the end, he only averaged 13.5 and 5.5 boards.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't really great stats for anybody who's going to be top three.
And he could draw fouls too. I mean, he's got a great motor. He's a really good athlete. I mean, his athletic testing in the private workouts, from what I was told, you know, or not what I was told, but from reading from Chad Ford and the like, was that it was through the roof. So I think they might go with that, and they do need athleticism. They do. You know, I mean, TJ Warren is not a high riser. You know, Brandon Knight isn't either. Eric Bledsoe is. You know, Devin Booker is more of a shooter. And so I think having, like, a really good freak athlete like that, like Chris, would be a nice pick. Now let's go to the Minnesota Timberwolves at number 5. They're in a really good position, really, no matter what they do. Tom Thibodeau is coming in now. Andrew Wiggins won the Rookie of the Year in 2015. Karl Anthony Towns is a fucking superstar already. He was the Rookie of the Year this past season. Zach LaVine, your best friend, still there. Ricky Rubio, still there. They're progressing nicely. So the needs that I see here are kind of easy, 3 and D. They need 3-point shooting and they need defense, and Tom Thibodeau is going to teach defense. Chris Dunn's not a 3-point shooter, but Jamal Murray is.
They're not 3-point shooters, and I don't get, you know, you have Chris Dunn, LaVine, so why are, you know, people like, oh, well, they need to get Chris Dunn? You have 2 point guards right there already to begin with.
Yeah, I question that too. Like, people are like, well, he's a defensively oriented point guard, so Dunn would be a good pick here. And people need point guards, which is true. You always need a backup point guard. You know, every time I did team needs, Adam, I cannot tell you how many times I wrote backup point guard. You know, but so it is a need, but you know, Dunn shooting, it is a question mark. It's a big question mark.
It's a question mark, you know. What do they need? 3 and D? Oh, well, they should just get Brown, but they don't seem to be high on him. They seem to be high on Bender, Dunn, and Murray.
Mm-hmm. So, this one is actually probably the first toughie that we've kind of run into in the lottery. Bender is a guy that the Timberwolves do like as well. I heard that they've looked at him a lot. And you know, this is actually kind of where he would go. You know, would you go with Bender here?
As a stretch four, because Towns is just going to be down low the entire, you know, although he can go out and hit the three, you don't want him out there.
And that would be the sign that, you know, and we already knew this anyway, that Pekovic's days in Minnesota are numbered.
Well, it's just, again, injuries have derailed that entire,
yeah. You know, and he's not like Jang either, Gorgui Jang. He's not like an immobile center, Dragan Bender we're talking about. And he's so young. I mean, you got a lot of time to develop him. And it's not to me like the Timberwolves are in a hurry to like get to the playoffs now. It's just that they're in a position where they really could do it, you know. So maybe they can take their time with who they pick. Like they don't need a plug-in.
The problem is they have too many young people, so you know they'd be also better off trading for somebody, you know, a veteran. Because outside of, you know, Kevin Garnett, They don't have any.
I definitely anticipate trades here with like Sacramento, Minnesota, maybe the Bucks, but even the Magic. But so, but what would you see here with say they keep the pick? I would be. I'm gonna just go ahead and I'll say that it'll be Jamal Murray, because I think they just need the shooting.
Okay, I would have said they're probably gonna go with Bender because they have enough backcourt people. Because they did trade last year to get Tyus Jones.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Jones was just an experiment. I mean, they got him from I believe it was a trade with the Cavs, like
the Cavs for their second round pick.
Exactly, and so you know, it's not the worst. I mean. I love Jamal Murray. Like, I think that he could very – this really all comes down to what Danny Ainge does. If Jamal Murray goes at three, then you got Hield. And Hield is a – here's the truth. Hield's a more natural pick for the Timberwolves because now you've got a set shooter, which is great. Murray, you could play the one and the two. But you already have Zach LaVine, who's sort of a one, but he's an athletic two. So you kind of have a little mishmash there. You know, but I think Murray would be a really good pick there. The next pick down is the New Orleans Pelicans, my New Orleans Pelicans.
So now that your heart's broken that cousin Jamal is gone.
I think they definitely need some type of a guard because Drew Holiday and Tyreek Evans are going to be going to last year of their deals. Bryce DeJean Jones, unfortunately, passed away due to a very unfortunate incident in Texas. So now they're a little bit devoid of guards. I would definitely go Dunn here, even though he's not a great shooter.
There's nobody left, really.
I mean, Bender, you know, Bender alongside AD is not the worst idea, but AD, Anthony Davis, is a power forward. He's not a center in today's NBA. Like, he could play center if you asked him and be a back-to-basket center, but his abilities at the power forward spot to score, to roam defensively, to do a lot of things, there's just so much potential there that it feels like you're limiting him playing him at the center position, which is, you know, we've gone back and forth about that. But Bender, he is kind of in the same position as Anthony Davis is. If you want to get the most out of him, you don't just stick him at center.
Then it's quite, you know, you said it yourself. They need a point guard. You take the best one who's... Well,
they need a point guard in a year, to say it better. You know, they need a point guard soon.
Oh, come on. Nobody on that team is playing a full season.
Well, Evans, I mean, do you see – and then also there's Eric Gordon, but Eric Gordon's an off guard. I don't even know if he's going to stay on the team because he's a free agent this coming year. They had a bad year under Dalvin Gentry. I think they are bringing – I don't know if it's a rumor or it's been confirmed that they're bringing in Danny Ferry as an assistant GM. Did you hear that?
Yep, they're bringing him in.
Yeah, so we'll see how that works out. I love Danny Ferry, even though he got himself into a little bit of hot water with some comments in Atlanta. But he built that – let me tell you something about Danny Ferry. He built that team. That team that Atlanta had that won 60 games in 2015, they won. He built that team from the ground up almost. So I give
up. Yep, and now that team's a crumbling.
But okay, let's move on to the Denver Nuggets. And hey, Adam Murray, there's a really good international prospect, and the Denver Nuggets are on the board.
Problem is, all they have are, you know, centers and power forwards from Europe.
Okay, yeah, well, they have Nurkic and they have Nikola Jokic, and they got him, I think, from the same club, right? They played on the same club in different years.
I don't – those two just confuse me.
Are they both from Turkey, right, Nurkic and Jokic?
No, they're from – one's from Serbia, one's from Croatia, I think.
Yeah, but I remember somewhere reading that they both played on the same international club. But, you know, there's a couple of guys that we'll talk about that, you know, played on different clubs even though they're not from those countries, you know. And, you know, Bender is right there. You'd have to assume that the agent is just screaming at people to pick him at this point. So would you say the Nuggets just kind of as default take Bender?
You got Bender or they got Jaylen Brown.
Oh, take the potential guy. You know, Gary Harris isn't exactly, you know, peaches and cream at the small forward position. Let's be honest.
No, you like him, but I think he sort of just maxed out his potential.
Yeah, I think what we've seen out of him, I think he could be a little bit better. I think he could become a better shooter. The Nuggets desperately need shooting. That's one thing. And power forward, it is a need because you've got, you know, Jeffrey LaVern is a team option. They're probably going to pick him up. We'll see with Daryl Arthur. I doubt he'll be back. Gallinari can't play forever. You know, he's already had a few injuries. And, you know, I think Kenneth Faried does need a little bit of help along with Jokic and Nurkic. Jokic is more of a center, and Nurkic is kind of is too, am I right?
Yeah, Nurkic is...
Nurkic is a guy that'll go out and guard, you know, smaller guys, but...
Yeah, he's just the beast, and he's just the one who's just going to muscle through you. Yeah. Jokic is more of a finesse... a forward.
Yeah, and then there's Bender. Bender is the guy that I think he'll work out okay there with the Nuggets. And they have a track record of picking those kinds of players. So It's not the worst.
Jokic is Serbian, Nurkic is Bosnian. Jokic played for Megaleeks, who are, you know, they're sort of known. Whereas Sedevita, they're just a Croatian league team.
And you know, the Nuggets had a surprisingly good year in terms of the wins. They were 33-49. Everyone expect them to be just bottom, like 20-15 wins. So
they overachieved, and you know, don't forget you have Kenneth Faried, who's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And his contract is now very friendly, and he's, you know, we could say he's maxed out, but he's just a hustle guy.
If Chris Dunn was still there, would he be an obvious pick there?
That's the thing. Well, if Dunn's there, oh, well, they would have gotten him. If Hield was there, oh, they would have gotten him. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, even though they have Moutier, it's not a bad idea to have another guard. It isn't. And remember, DJ Augustin is an unrestricted free agent, so you might need another guard. You know?
That's the thing, is whatever Boston does, it just trickles down to this tier.
It really does. Number three is really where it gets interesting. Now let's go to Sacramento Kings. They've had curious picks in the past. You know, they've had Ben McLemore in 2013. They had Thomas Robinson in 2012. I'm trying to remember the pick they just had. It was Willie Cauley-Stein. I don't want to down that pick because I think Cauley-Stein's got some good upside still. But what do you see here with the Sacramento Kings, who have a new head coach in Dave Joerger?
They are screwed. It was a 7-player draft. And they're pick number 8 in a 7-player draft.
Mm-hmm.
So unless one of those top 7 falls, it's, well, you can go with Brown. Well, what are you going to do with Rudy Gay? You're not going to put him at the 2. He's not a 4. Or I sort of suggested that you go for Sabonis.
Domantas Sabonis, the big man, Arvidas' son out of Gonzaga, who... I mean, he had some incredible NCAA tournament performances. Like, he seems like a guy who really shines bright. You know, I think in terms of size, I don't think they need that much help. I mean, obviously they have Cousins, but they still have guys like, you know, Kosta Koufos, and we talked about Willie Cauley-Stein. So, you know, they could pick up a couple of pieces. Now, Rajon Rondo is an unrestricted free agent. There's a chance he might not be back. So do you try to think about maybe taking a guard here just as an insurance?
There's
policy?
Nobody you can possibly reach for that.
Yeah, the next one we're talking about is like Malachi Richardson, you know, DeJounte Murray out of Washington, you know, Demetrius Jackson from Notre Dame. That's hot. That's a little too high for them, you know.
There's a steep drop off. Now we're sort of in, you know, big man territory for the next few picks. And like, you know, you can either go with Brown or, like, I suggested Sabonis.
Okay.
So who are you going to go with this one?
Both
are disappointments for Sacramento, who are looking for
it. Let's go ahead with Domantas Sabonis. Do you like Sabonis more than Jakob Poeltl out of Utah? I know they played one-on-one in the tournament, and Sabonis outplayed him, but I mean, you like Sabonis more?
I've always liked Poeltl, but Sabonis, he can stretch the floor, which... Jakob really can't, and if you're going to have Cousins down there, you know, Jakob's just a straight-up center, whereas Sabonis is more of the stretch four.
6'10", 231 pounds, so a little light, maybe about an inch or two shorter, but he's only 20 years old, you know, so there's a lot of potential.
20 years old, he has the NBA lineage, and... It doesn't hurt. You have Vlade as the GM there, so...
I knew Gonzaga last year was good. You know, they had some issues with injuries, and they lost a lot of guards. But the year before, 2015, they were a terrific team, and they played a close game against Duke in the Elite Eight for a while. And I remember that Domantas Sabonis was head-to-head with Jahlil Okafor, and he was giving it to Okafor. And I was like, man, Sabonis is really good. And he played another year, and he put up great numbers in the WCC again. So, you know, he's a guy that's pretty prolific. He can rack up the rebounds, you know. And the Kings do need some rebounding still. I mean, well, they're rebounding, they were 11th, but I think they were first in the league the year before. So their rebounding dipped a little bit, you know. And defensively, they do need some help.
They do, but they just need continuity. They need a good week.
So they need a player that just doesn't suck. I mean, McLemore was a bad player. Let's be honest.
And McLemore then, just sucked, and then they doubled down with the white McLemore, and then well, they got rid of him, and he couldn't even
Stauskas. You know, yeah, Stauskas
Castillo couldn't do anything in Philly. And this was his chance. Well, you're going to get minutes there. This is your time to nope, you just as horrible there. And All right, on to north of the border.
Yeah, we're hitting our groove now, so as we kind of get along, because we know this is where the stretch comes in. And that's going to be the Toronto Raptors. They got this one out of the benefit of a trade that they had with Denver, because Denver had already gotten – no, what it is that – Denver got the more favorable pick between the New York Knicks and the Toronto Raptors from the earlier trade from Carmelo Anthony back in 2011. You see, that 2011 trade is still haunting the Knicks. But the Knicks gave up the less favorable pick to the Raptors because in the Andrea Bargnani deal from 2013.
That's the one that's haunting him.
That's a double, Mello, that's a all double right. whammy. You know, so Mello, they lost
all right, you can give up three picks for him. He was sort of worth it, and you know, they just haven't built anything around him. Trading it for Bargnani, that's the one that sort of kills you.
So the Raptors are already looking at, okay, they're I don't know if they got enough money anyway to keep Bismack Biyombo. They're trying to re-sign DeMar DeRozan. Had obviously a great year, 56-26, made the conference finals, won two game sevens in the playoffs before losing in six to the Cavs. Kyle Lowry was an all-star, so was DeRozan. But, you know, they do have some needs. Assists, they were second to last. Their experience was low. You're not obviously going to address that in the draft. They played a very, very slow pace under Dwayne Casey. So, you know, they're not a perfect team because the Cleveland Cavaliers sort of gave it to them in the conference finals. But, you know, the needs I see here are shooting guard, you know, because Terrence Ross is just not cutting the mustard. And power forward if Bismack Biyombo leaves in the free agency, which is likely. So do you see the Raptors, if they keep this pick, what do you see him doing?
Well, I think the Raptors were hoping that, you know, Marquise Chris sort of didn't rise as fast as he did. They were, and the problem with the Raptors is it would be nice to have that home run development guy, but as we mentioned in on Netflix and Chill, you got Caboclo, who you spent a first round pick on. You're waiting for him to develop. You're waiting for Lucas Nogueira to develop, and you have so much at the end of the bench, and you really need they just need a lot. And the problem is, again, you could go with this. This seems to be the way this draft has gone. You could either go A with Jaylen Brown, as every team can.
Well, he's a good insurance policy if DeRozan leaves, right?
Then again, you have Poeltl, who's a great insurance for Valanciunas, who, once he got injured, that team really suffered.
Yeah, well, and now with Biyombo's gone, they're thinking, okay, now we definitely need help. So let's go ahead and say it's going to be Jakob Poeltl. What do you like out of him? He's from Austria, but he played 2 years in Utah, played 1 year with DeLon Wright, and then he was the star player this year.
He has great footwork. He, for somebody, you know, his size, he's not going to shoot, you know, he's not going to be a stretch anything. He's an old school player, and he's just going to sit there and rebound. And like I said, the lateral movement is what impressed me about him.
He is a true center. Sabonis, even you can play around with. If you want to put him at power forward, I bet you could probably get away with it. And he can work well, come to think of it, back on that previous pick. He could work with Willie Cauley-Stein pretty well, because Cauley-Stein can kind of go out there and, you know, play against smaller guys, whereas, you know, Sabonis can play at the four. Jakob Poeltl is a five, a true five. You know, he is not a power forward. He is not a small forward. He's a center. You know, so let's go ahead and just move on to the Milwaukee Bucks. bad year, even though they had a few revelations with Giannis Antetokounmpo at point guard. Jason Kidd just got a contract extension. They have a new GM that they're bringing in to work with him. And looks like John Hammond's days are going to be numbered there. But, you know, there's a few needs there. The ones that I addressed here are shooting guard and rebounding. Even though they signed Greg Monroe, their rebounding still suffered. Because Monroe is a guy that likes to hog up the rebounds, but he's not a great – he doesn't help with the team rebounding. He just kind of just gobbles stats, if that makes any sense.
Well, he didn't fit the – you know, we'd always said we don't know what this team is because they're just all mishmash players, and they put him in. And it was just like, well, you're round peg in a square hole.
Yeah.
You don't fit anything. And then all of a sudden, well, let's just make our small forward now our point guard, and let's move other things around.
Well,
that, so.
Well, the good thing about Antetokounmpo at point guard is that it allowed Jabari Parker to play naturally at small forward, and he really picked it up at the end. So now you got a good combination of Parker and Antetokounmpo. Chris Middleton is set at the shooting guard spot after you re-signed him. We'll see with Greg Monroe. He has a player option after next season. Michael Carter-Williams, failure, I guess you could say. And so what do you see here with the Bucks? I mean, the shooting guard, I think, is absolutely needed.
I think they got lucky that Jaylen Brown will fall to them because he sort of fits... You know, I think O.J. Mayo is a free agent this year, so...
Jared Bayless is, too. Gravis Vasquez is as well.
Yeah, so you need back, you know, you need backcourt help, and if you get somebody who's just going to play, they have a, you know, the high second-round pick, too. They can get a, you know, a backup point guard, but I think Jaylen Brown will fit this team because he doesn't really have an area yet, nor does anyone else on that team.
At 6'7" and 233, can you move him to the small, to the shooting guard?
You can move him to the two, I think.
Okay, because, you know, Rashad Vaughn was kind of one of those experimental guys that they drafted out of UNLV where he was kind of like, well, we don't know the position, but we'll just give it a try. You know, and obviously he was a rookie, so he didn't really get a lot of blow. But, I mean, with Jaylen Brown, you know, maybe they can try to throw him in there along with Antetokounmpo and Jabari Parker. The only problem is their field goal percentage is still going to be, you know, I mean, they were fifth in the league, but their field goal percentage might dip if Brown is the starter starting too.
But they're not starting, you know, he's not going to start now. He could just sit and he's the insurance policy for now and sort of develop a year into.
And they don't really need another big, especially given the fact that they still have John Henson on the bench. I mean, there's really no need for another big, you know.
No, there's not a need for a big, but if they were, you know, I'd probably say more of a Henry Ellison would be there.
Yeah, and that's a local prospect out of Marquette. I was kind of thinking about that too because they needed the shooting. But, you know, we'll see there. Orlando Magic, they had a bad year, but they're a team that has some talent at almost every position, even though they just haven't funneled it yet, and they haven't found the right coach to really dial them in yet. Scott Skiles left after 1 year, and now it's Frank Vogel, who got fired in Indiana. They moved Tobias Harris to Detroit in a trade where they got in return Ersan Ilyasova and Brandon Jennings. We'll see how that works out in free agency, because one's a team option, Ilyasova, and the other's an unrestricted, and that's Jennings. But you still got Aaron Gordon, you still got Nikola Vucevic, who's a really good center. And then Alfred Payton is an experiment, but he has times where he can look really, really good, and then sometimes where he looks like he don't even know how to play the game of basketball. And Evan Fournier is a restricted free agent, and Victor Oladipo is there. So, you know, I wrote down here best available prospect.
Basically, you nailed the point with this one. They have players at every position. You got rid of Tobias. Granted, you got nothing good for him.
Yeah.
But
you got a little bit out of Zonya last year.
You got rid of a logjam for your young talent. And this one, I don't know if we're in agreement on this one, but I think this is the point. You go for Scal. As you can take a year or two to develop somebody. And, you know, if you develop into this Channing Frye stretch five type player, he would be complimentary to Vucevic.
The funny thing about Scal Labissiere is that no one thought he could make a jump shot. And then all of a sudden he started making mid-range jump shots at the very end of the year, like right at the end. And everyone's like, oh, now I see. Labissiere is trying to get his draft stock up. So now he's starting to play well. But in the workouts, they said he's actually a fairly good shooter compared to the other multiple, you know, big prospects they got out there, like Deontay Davis and Damian Jones and Cheick Diallo and Shinanu Onuwaku. There's so many of them. But it seems like the one that's sort of risen above them all is Labissiere.
Yeah, safe safe pick. That's the one where, you know, somebody's going to have to reach on him, so why not?
And you know, if you had done this last June, people would have said that was a value pick.
Oh, last June, he was, what was it, Draft Express had him over Simmons.
Mm-hmm. He was, it was everyone, 1-2. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was the, can you believe it? And then it was just like, well, how is he there? Well, we're just going to, this is the NBA, and we draft on potential as opposed to actual talent.
And do you take it into account, like, Anthony Davis in Kentucky and Karl-Anthony Towns in Kentucky, and the fact that they, the only one that kind of played his natural position was Julius Randle when he was there, where he was a rebounder and a low-post scorer, whereas with Anthony Davis and Karl-Anthony Towns, they had to play center, but when they played in the NBA and they were put in a spot where they could do more, they did more. So do you see that too with LeBissiere?
Well, I will answer that with a question for you.
Okay.
Okay, agree or disagree? Kentucky was terrible this year because of the failure of Scal.
No, I think they were a bad team because they had no wings, and Alex Poitras was long past gone.
Because Scal couldn't do anything, they had no front court game, so Jamal, it was just basically Jamal Murray was Rip Hamilton and just running around in circles and taking many bad shots because they didn't do
anything.
They
were forced to rely on their guards too much, and Isaiah Briscoe might have been a bad fit for Murray and Ulis because they're more ball movement, screen action type of players, and Briscoe's more of like a roamer. And it was just a weird fit, you know. And also, LeBissiere's 20 years old, so it actually makes sense for him to come out anyway, you know.
Well, there's the, he couldn't go, you can't go back because now your stock is damaged, and it's Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So they've already drafted, they've already recruited your replacement.
Very thin frame at 216 pounds, but he's 7 foot. So, well, the thing is, I don't know if he measured at 7 foot at the combine, but they say he's 7 foot. You know, there have been some disputes that people, that agents said that some of the measurements at the combine didn't smell right. So we'll see. I don't know how true it really is, but we'll know once we put him on the court who's 7 foot and who's not, you know? Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and put LeBissiere at number 11 to the Orlando Magic. And the next team we're going to be talking about is the Utah Jazz. The Jazz need shooting, 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 and they need a backup point guard. So do you see your Wade Baldwin, the fourth out of Vanderbilt, DeJounte Murray, who's not a good shooter, but he's got a lot of potential at point guard.
He just has size.
And then there's Malachi Richardson at Syracuse.
Now, he was – it's funny. I had, you know, I had sent you, you know, my mock draft,
yeah,
you know,
your
a week or two ago. Yeah. And I was like – I'm like, they should just hit a home run and just go for Malachi.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, now you start seeing more and more drafts just put – you know, I saw, you know, a couple online. They're putting him in there too. I'm like, well, that because it makes sense. And
I think what happened is when Malachi went to the combine, they just did the measurements. And the athlete and just the testing, he didn't even scrimmage, and they were just like and they were so good, and the scouts liked him so much after that performance against Virginia. You know, I hate to put it on one game, but it was just that he was so spectacular in that one game, taking over late, that people were just like, oh, this guy can be a takeover guard, and we could put him at point guard at 6'6", 200 pounds, and he can overpower people. You know,
well, it was just he wasn't supposed to be anybody after his freshman year, and he just overachieved in the ACC, and mm-hmm. It's like, well, okay, you're, you know, not like we're talking about people, you know, LeBissiere who wilted amongst anything, and then all of a sudden, well, where did he come from? Oh, he's getting better. Oh, he's still getting better. And, you know, you need shooting, so either you go with Korkmaz or Malachi Murray. I don't see him as a fit here because you still have Exum. Mm-hmm. You have Exum. You have, is it Rolnado they have?
Rolnado, and they still have Trey Burke, but I got a feeling Burke's going to get moved.
Burke's going to be gone. Alec Burks, he's, you know, he's been there, but he still can't stay healthy. So
yeah,
when
I said Burks is going to be gone, I mean Trey Burke, not Alec Burks. Alec Burks is signed through.
Well, so. Burke and Burks.
I know, it always gets confusing with Burke and Burks. Rodney Hood's also a terrific player, but it seems like Rodney plays the three a lot, you know, along with Hayward.
He plays the three, Hayward. Three, you know, going small, right?
That's
now
why they
the
got
four,
stuck with Joe Ingles and Trey Lyles having to guard Kobe Bryant. You know, it's just weird stuff like that. So, you know, they need a true guard, and I think Malachi Richardson can play the two. You know, and if you want to put him to the one, it would be almost Michael Carter Williams, like another Syracuse guy. It would be an experiment, but if it works, it would work out terrifically. You know,
because you know, like Orlando, they have everybody you know, you're stocked at every position.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they got so desperate at guard, they had to pick up Shelvin Mack from the Hawks. I mean, it got bad, you know, so I think that makes sense there. The Phoenix Suns got this pick from at number 13 from the Washington Wizards in a trade where the Wizards got Markieff Morris. And the Wizards would have been able to keep the pick if they had gotten, I think, in the top 10. But they didn't, so the Suns got the pick. So we had them taking Marquise Chris at 4. So what do you see here?
Basically, the Wizards. Who would you rather have? Who's available here or Morris?
Morris.
So there you go. They made a good trade. Oh, they traded their first round pick. They have nothing, but they got somebody who's better. So
yeah, I think a small forward here makes sense. You know, or maybe a shooter.
A small the number one guard from Kentucky's gone. Who's I'm confused now.
It gets interesting now. You know, Henry Ellenson is still there. If you need shooting,
Henry Ellenson would be a great. You know, Tyson Chandler is not doing anything. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. So you want to go ahead and go with Ellenson, or you want to go with Furkan Korkmaz?
No, because they don't. You have Devin Booker, who's your. You know, two.
And here's the problem at small forward. You know, Ben Simmons is a surefire one. Ingram, in many eyes, is a surefire two. Jaylen Brown's got a lot of potential. He'll probably be gone by the top 10. After that, with all due respect to the other prospects, it sort of bottoms out. You know?
It doesn't bottom out. It's just, this is, who are we talking now? It's Poeltl, Labissiere, Sabonis, Ellenson. These are just all, you know, centers. They're not the athletic freaks, and It's just, well, now we've hit this group of just big men.
Ellenson had a very nice year at Marquette. He's Steve Willey can go ahead and let you know how much he liked Ellenson. He's just turned 19. He's 7 foot, 242 pounds. He's a three-point shooter. He could play with his back to the basket. He was by far Marquette's best player. People just didn't pay attention to him because Marquette missed the tournament. They were a bad team.
They're a bad team. Plus, just to me, he's a little bit slow.
Oh, yeah. He's got a little – you know, he's got – his body fat isn't exactly, you know, where it has to be. You know, but if you need another shooter to go along with, you know, the guard and the guards and Booker and Knight, then, you know, Ellenson is a good pick and pop. And like we already talked about, you already got these, like, you know, kind of like sit in the middle bigs like Len and Chandler. He's a good distraction, you know.
Oh, you went with potential with Chris in the first pick. So this one you go with Ellenson, who's a nice sort of safer pick and gives you depth to your front court. You know, it leaves you sort of weak at the three, but that's something you could address during free agency.
The Chicago Bulls. Ugh. Okay, I'll just let you take this one.
The Chicago Bulls, we don't know where their head is. We don't know. Oh, they're trying to trade
Derrick Rose.
Butler.
They're trying to trade.
Oh, the Knicks want Derrick Rose. Well, what are you going to give them? That's the stupidest ESPN headline I've ever read.
Yeah, you like Deontay Davis. I liked Richardson, but that was before he shot up the charts a week later when I did my mock. And so, you know, Davis, the problem is he's sort of like Bobby Portis. Why would you want another Bobby Portis? So, like, do you like the point guard position here? Maybe Wade Baldwin, DeJounte Murray?
I said they have time to develop since they're losing, you know, they're going to lose Noah, and you really sort of need everything. I said Sheik Diallo.
Okay.
But that might be a little too high, and you might be like, eh, that's, you know, they have Bobby Portis, and what do you need another?
No, you know, to be honest, this is about where we're going to see Diallo. I mean, a lot of people are like, check Diallo. He didn't do anything at Kansas, but in the combine and the scrimmaging, he looked really good. You know,
you could say, you know, Davis, I could be talked into Davis too, because he's like Portis, but you could play Davis at the five, whereas Portis is just a straight four.
Yeah.
And that gives you a super athletic front court.
So if they pick a center here, and we'll just put Diallo here, does that give you the sense that they're going to go after a point guard knowing that they're not going to keep Derrick Rose?
If they keep Derrick Rose, he's not going to take a super discount to stay with them.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, I think Derrick Rose's days are numbered in Chicago.
So yeah, Davis or Diallo here.
Okay.
Both are just, you know, based upon potential.
Because
Davis wrote up, and then they're like, whoa, Davis is rawer than we thought, and Davis got overshadowed by Marquise Chris, and he's sunk back down to sort of where he should have been to begin with.
Yeah, Deontay Davis is taller and bigger. And, you know, Diallo is actually a little bit older than Davis. So Davis is just all upside, whereas Diallo is all energy. And, you know, Bobby Portis is sort of an energy guy, but he's more of a shooter too. Diallo is a little bit different from Portis. So that might be a good thing to kind of play off. And McDermott's different from both of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and move on with the Denver Nuggets. They got this one, the number 15 pick from the Houston Rockets, and the Ty Lawson trade after he got caught drunk driving, and they dumped him to Houston, and then Houston had their whole, you know, team blow up.
Why would Houston give a first round for the? They could have given him a second, and
yeah,
they were so desperate to unload him. Mm-hmm. You give a first round, and then he plays half the season, you dump him again, and. Mm-hmm. Houston could have used this pick.
Oh, absolutely. They had a lot of needs. We have one to talk about with them later. But the Nuggets, we have them picking Dragan Bender at 7. So when we looked at the team needs, we were talking about
it's still the same team needs we had before.
Yeah.
So if you're going for a shooter, it's got to be Korkmaz.
So another international prospect.
You could double down with the internationals and you could say Korkmaz, or you've gone big, so it's really sort of too high for Beasley.
Oh, yeah. I don't think – you know, Malik Beasley at Florida State, that's the one guy I'm not really in love with. You know, a lot of people like him, and I don't really get it, you know?
I think Korkmaz is the safest pick to where it is. Everybody else is sort of reaches. And, mm-hmm. you know, if they went small in the – if they picked, you know, one of the guards, this would be okay. Now you sort of go for Davis.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, you know, Deshaun, they don't need another potential
Korkmaz
point guard.
Korkmaz is from Turkey, right?
Correct.
He's not even 19. He's 18 years old. He's 6'7", 185. Looked good in the Euro camp, you know, and in the workouts. He's rising, too. That's a big thing. The two guys that seem to be really on the rise, you know, in the first round are Timothy Luwawu. In terms of international prospects, there are Timothy Luwawu and Furkan Korkmaz. But Korkmaz has really risen, which gives the sense that he's doing good in the workouts.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and stick Korkmaz there. Another internet. I'm just laughing at the fact all these internationals. It's just the Nuggets are going to be nothing but internationals and Moutier, who played in China.
They're basically becoming San Antonio.
And now we got the Boston Celtics. They got this one at number 16 from the Dallas Mavericks originally. That was the original team there, the Dallas Mavericks. They got that from the Rajon Rondo trade. So here we go with the Celtics turning the screws on all their draft picks now. This is number 2. So we have them taking Buddy Hield at 3. So what do you like at number 16?
This would be the one I think Diallo, if he fell here, would be a logical pick. As this,
what about Thon Maker from Haiti?
This is a little high for Thon.
Is he from Haiti or is he from Canada?
He is from Canada via Australia and the Sudan.
Okay, so he's from everywhere. That's why he was able to even declare, because he was an international prospect considered, not an American high school player.
No, he was a high school player, but he chose to spend his 1 year going to a prep school.
And that's what allowed him to not have
that's
to go to
sort
college.
Of a loophole. And that's what, you know, people thought the U.S. guys were going to start doing is mm-hmm. why go to, you know, college when you go to them? It's like, well, no, college is still,
well,
you're playing against garbage.
I think an international here makes sense, you know, and we went with shooting. And Buddy Hield, so now you need some rim protection. So you look at some of these bigs like you're talking about. You got Deontay Davis. You got the two Croatian players, Ante Zizic and Ivica Zubac. So, you know, and then there's some other ones. So I'll let you have the pick here.
I think you go with Davis because he's sort of fallen.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just pure potential, and he can be a He can be, you know, he's that luxury with having multiple picks.
His measurables are good. I mean, when it comes to a big man. So, I mean, he's got girt, he's got size, you know, he's just a shade under 7 foot. And, you know, I think his motor is a question, you know, and he didn't stand out at Michigan State the 1 year he played there. He wasn't like a takeover guy like Towns was at Kentucky. But, you know, he's a guy that you can see, you know, having potential, really, really athletic. So
the thing is, he's an athletic rebounder,
exactly,
with potential, which is what they basically need. And, you know, he was a riser until everything combined. I heard his interviews were horrible. His, you know, was just disappointing.
Okay.
So, but for a faller, this is a luxury pick, so I think you go with him.
Okay, let's go with the Memphis Grizzlies. They have a couple of questions. They bringing in a new coach in Dave Fizdale after they fired Dave Joerger. Marc Gasol's coming off of a broken foot. He'll probably be ready by the beginning of that season. Mike Conley's a free agent. We don't know what's going to happen there. I think their biggest needs, if they really want to turn the page on grit and grind, you've got to get some shooting. So shooting guard and point guard in case Mike Conley leaves are big. But if you want to double down on it, then maybe you want to get some more big guys. But I think guard is the most important part here. And I think DeJounte Murray makes sense.
So the logical thing is you need guards and shooting. Okay, let's go for Bryce Johnson.
DeJounte Murray's not a good shooter. You know, I mean, Demetrius Jackson's a better shooter, but I think this is too high for Demetrius Jackson.
It's way too high for him, and they need shooting. So you know, if you just want a straight shooter, you go Beasley. But you said you're not high on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I could, you know, cousin DeJounte.
They've tried that with Jordan Adams, but now word came out that Jordan Adams has like a major knee injury. He might not even play again. So, you know, maybe they need another shooting guard. But, I mean, we've already picked out – we've already got out of here Jamal Murray, Buddy Hield, Malachi Richardson, Korkmaz. All you got left is, like, Patrick McCaw, Denzel Valentine, and Beasley. You know, you ain't got a lot of options.
Well, I guess it comes down to Connolly. If Connolly does leave – all right, now, you know, point guard is a super necessity.
Mm-hmm.
Because once he got injured, who are you, you know?
Yeah, and they can buy one, but we know that it's going to be a seller's market. Especially, did you hear about the cap going up to $94
million? Yep.
That means everybody's getting paid. That's what that
everybody's
means.
Getting paid, and then the floor is higher than the cap was last year, so it's going to be completely insane, and it's just going to be the undoing of a lot of things when you have
point guards and a bad point guard market are going to get overpaid a lot.
When you have people like Biombo who are going to get paid more than Curry and Harden,
mm-hmm.
we have trouble now.
Yeah, it's going to be a very, very interesting. I'm just, you know, I don't have it in front of me, but you know, you got the, you know, the point guards. Like, I'm looking at the market. You got Clarkson, Dellavedova, Brandon Jennings, Ish Smith, Raymond Felton. I mean, they just don't have a lot of good point guards, and Rajon Rondo. But they're going to get overpaid. Absolutely going to get overpaid. They're going to make more money.
People get overpaid, but I don't see, for the most part, it going. I think a lot of teams be like, well, we're just going to take the – we'll make sure we have more cap.
So
we know.
Go to the draft, get the next best point guard after Chris Dunn. It's not a bad pick, you know.
That's – okay.
Let's move on to the Detroit Pistons.
Right.
They kind of stayed pat. You know, they didn't make any deals for their picks. So they have their two picks. They got 18 and they got 49. Our advice was on Netflix and Chill, which you can go back and listen to, is to just stand pat. You know, improve your bench, improve your shooting, and don't make any dramatic changes. Just kind of build upon what you already have. So for team needs, I've got for them power forward, you know, to go with Marcus Morris, shooting, and to improve their bench. So actually the draft will really help the Pistons because that's where you build up your bench.
Yep. And this is, you know, and also don't forget, they did trade away their first pick to Houston for Monte Yunus, but mm-hmm. chickened out,
mm-hmm.
and which was probably smart because...
Do you like the local kid, Denzel Valentine?
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. Sometimes it's just like, it's sort of a cop-out, like, oh, you picked the local kid,
remember,
why not?
You remember when everybody was like mad in Toronto because they didn't get Tyler Ennis out of Syracuse because he was a Canadian player? And now they're saying, well, no, good thing we didn't get him. Sometimes it doesn't always work out with these local ones. You remember when Sean May went to the Bobcats and Raymond Felton?
That was the only reason they picked him was because he was a local pick.
Now, Denzel Valentine's got a knee issue. He had played 4 years at Michigan State. He was one of the best players in college. I mean, some people sort of had kind of like a thumbs down on Michigan State because of that loss in the first round of Middle Tennessee State. But he had a great, great year. He's under 23 years old. He has got the measurements of like a natural shooting guard. So I see him playing the two more than the one. So, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie was more of a point guard. So do you like Denzel Valentine kind of playing the two?
Yeah, he's, you know, he had an injury, but everybody said, well, you know, well, he still played. It didn't seem that bad. How, you know, oh, his career might be cut short. But you're only really drafting somebody for, you know, it's a Brandon Roy thing. You want somebody to be a superstar for 5 years. You're not going to – nobody's like, well, I'm going to keep this guy for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the hope, but not the realistic, especially down at 18.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You get somebody who could help you, and that just seems, you know, a better pick.
Okay. And let's go ahead with the Denver Nuggets. This is another one where they got in a pretty nifty move. They got this in the Aaron Aflalo deal when Portland needed some – you know, some help off of their playoff roster. So they added Aflalo, but they gave away this pick. So now it's the Nuggets pick. So we can't go international again just because it's getting out of hand. So let's go ahead and look at, I mean, in terms of team needs, they've already picked two guys. We have them picking Bender, and we've got them picking Furkan Korkmaz. So a big man and a guard. So here, what about Torian Prince out of Baylor?
Torian Prince or Bryce Johnson, they, to me, are sort of interchangeable prospects.
Or do you go international so you don't add too many heads to your roster? Kind of stash them away.
You stash away, but the only one you could really stash away at this point would be Luau, because, you know, Zuzic and Zizek, Zibin, ZZ Top, they're both 7 foot centers, so...
Yeah. And one of these will probably be a stat. Like, I don't know the exact situation with Korkmaz. I think he'll be available immediately. But, you know, come to think of it, Prince might be a bit of a reach.
Like I said, Bryce Johnson, Prince could be one. They're at, you know, this is a perfect stash pick. So
yeah, let's go with Bryce Johnson. What do you like about Bryce?
He was the leader of a very... senior team.
He's a very light center. That's my biggest issue with him. He's 6'11", but he's only 209 pounds. Which means he's got dexterity, you know, but...
Yeah.
You know, he's tremendous. I mean, he's a very good athlete. There were some... I don't know if you saw the same games, but there were some games in that NCAA tournament where Bryce Johnson was, like, jumping over people, you know?
And that's the thing is, he's just one of those steady, safe... All right, he's 4 years. We know what we get from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about where he should go.
And he is kind of a riser all of a sudden late in the process. I'm not sure why, but it seems like a lot of people like him more. Indiana Pacers at number 20. Team needs I have here now with Nate McMillan as the head coach. Point guard and power forward. I think that's kind of natural. They made a great move getting Miles Turner, but he's a center. So you need a four to go with that five. So what do you see here? It's very different. You know, you got a point guard and you got a big man. You know, Demetrius Jackson's played at Notre Dame.
No. Stop. You've been way too high on him. I dealt with this last year with Jaren Grant.
Jaren Grant.
I gave in 1 year. I'm not giving in the second year. Mm-hmm. They need shooting because Monta Ellis isn't going to do anything for them at the two anymore, and he's getting older and sort of, you know, you saw this year, he's giving you what he can. It's really not enough. So
you like Malik Beasley here?
I like Beasley here. Ultimately, if Richardson didn't jump as high as he did, this would have been another fit for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is sort of Beasley's spot right here.
Yeah, I mean, did you... I like Bacon a little more than Beasley. Dwayne Bacon stayed at Florida State, I guess because his measurements didn't come out great and he knew he wasn't going to get – he wasn't a surefire first-round pick, whereas next year he probably will be. But what do you like out of Beasley?
He's a shooter. He will just shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Indiana sort of needs.
Yeah, and he had an injury, so a lot of people didn't see him in workouts, you know. That was another thing that hindered him, you know. Let's go ahead at number 21 with the Atlanta Hawks. I think this one's natural. I'll tell you my pick in a minute, but their biggest needs are center and team rebounding. We don't know if Al Horford will be back. Their rebounding was still really bad. We've talked about that many, many times on the show. And then at small forward, they might need a plug-in in case Kent Bazemore leaves in free agency. I think DeAndre Bembry at St. Joseph's from the A-10, which you've seen a lot because one of your schools, Rhode Island, they're in the A-10. Bembry just makes a lot of sense.
I thought you were going to guess the other route. I thought you were going to go with McCaw on this one.
Patrick McCaw out of the shooting box.
Because you have been like the first person I heard to be super high on him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a workout warrior, as they call him. You know, he's a guy that came in and all of a sudden it's just like, excuse me while I swallow my donut. And he's a guy that just kind of came out of nowhere. UNLV just had a rotten, rotten year. I mean, they fired Dave Rice. They tried to hire a coach, and then I think what happened is the committee didn't want him. And so he went to Texas Tech, and they had to get another coach. It was a fucking mess. Everybody in UNLV left. People who transferred there left. You know, it was just a mess. But McCaw had a pretty good year. You know, and in the combine, he played well. But I like Bembry more. He's more of a point forward. He's really athletic. He's got a very, very smooth game. I like him a lot. You know, that's the one I'll go with. I think that's actually one of the better picks if you go with DeAndre Bembry. And he performed in the combine scrimmages, and he looked good. He was one of the better players. You know, and they had a lot of good players in there. They had Diallo was in there. They had Shinanu Anuaku was in there. Kay Felder, from the little guard from Oakland, was there. And he was one of the best players by far. So did you have any other kind of asides for the Hawks before we move on?
Nope.
No.
That, you know, we sort of said it comes down to sort of two people for them, and we both agreed. And This is rare. We're starting to agree on stuff. I'm not liking it.
Yeah, we're going to be getting pretty fast once we get out of this first round. We're already clocking in about an hour or 10. And so we got the Charlotte Hornets, who you're not a huge fan of anyway. But their biggest needs are shooting guard, Courtney Lee, they had to bring in just because they didn't have many guards. And then power forward, especially depending on what happens with Al Jefferson. So give me a pick here with the Hornets, and I'll probably agree with it.
They're disappointed Bryce Johnson is gone, because they probably would have taken him since he's
from North Carolina, Michael Jordan. Do you like one of these international guys like Zubac or Zizic or maybe Zuki?
No, for them, I think you could either try to go for, I think maybe go with the home run pick maybe and go for Tyler Ulis.
Okay.
That's sort of like the let's
double down on small point guards.
They worked well with Lynn, so you need a spitfire for the second unit. But depending upon what they do with Batum, if Batum does go, then Torian Prince would make sense.
Okay. So if you're kind of juggling between the two, would you go with Ulis or would you go with?
I go with Ulis. Okay. You go with a home run pick.
Now, he's fluctuated. I've seen him in the second. I've seen him in the middle of the first. So, I mean, is it the concern about the fact that he's so small? He's 5'10". He's 149 pounds. He's a great leader. He can score. But he's definitely got a niche to his game.
It's the size thing. Like, look at Isaiah Thomas for the Celtics. He was the last pick. Well, he's only 5'9".
Here's what they don't understand about Isaiah Thomas. It took years for him to become what he is. Years. He was in the league for 4 years before he got to Boston.
Yeah, and he was also very good in Sacramento. Then, you know, parlayed that into a nice contract in Phoenix, which just went disastrous. But, you know, it's called just work ethic. And you have players, you know, we've mentioned the top. Well, we don't know if they have it. They just have size. Mm-hmm. Whereas you have Ulis. He's somebody who puts in hard work, and he's wanting to get better.
Okay, let's go with the Celtics again. This is going to be their I think we're counting the fourth one here. Let me see. Is this the fourth one or the – no, it's the third one.
Third pick.
The third one. Now, we're going to be getting to a lot of them later. I think it makes sense to go one of those Croatian big men. So which one would you pick, though? Zubac or Zizic?
Zizic.
Ante Zizic. Okay, he's 19 years old, 7 foot, 250 pounds, a little lighter than Zubac.
From the Croatian league, he's a little bit lighter, but he's more of a – he's a big man. But again, if you're going to go centers, and depending upon what they do before, if they trade one of their first two picks, you go for a center like, you know, Zimmerman or –
Jones. Steven Zimmerman here would be a reach big time. Damian Jones is not a reach. You know, he might be a guy that
Depends who you talk to. Mm-hmm. Some people say it's a reach. Some people say he's second round. That's the with a lot of
those Vanderbilt kids. You got to be careful. Like, you know, Festus Ezeli worked out, but Jeffrey Taylor and John Jenkins did not. You know, now this is the next
Festus Ezeli. And I think Taylor, they were both the 30th pick.
Yeah, they
they might have been 31st or 29th.
Yeah, they were in the second. I think they were right in the second. And I think John Jenkins.
Ezeli was 30th, end of the first. Taylor, I think, was 31st.
Yeah, they were right there. You know, so let's go with the 76ers at number 24. This is their second pick after they picked. We project them to pick Simmons at number one. They got this one from the Miami Heat, and probably in a salary dump. I don't have the details of the trade, but what do you see here? We talked about how they need small forward and they need guard. So a guard is big here. Wade Baldwin makes sense here.
I would have gone with shooting and McCaw for this one.
So you want to go with Patrick McCaw? Because it's actually okay. I can let you override that because they've got the number 26 pick, which is only two picks later.
And that one, I already have somebody sorted for that one, too. But this one, I think you just need a pure shooter. Uh-huh. And the point guard crop is so – they're not good, but they're deep. And then, especially when it comes to the second –
so you can find a better one later. But remember, they only have one second rounder after this.
And they also need to spend money in free agency.
They have none after this. Yeah, well, guess what? They might have to re-sign Ish Smith with that money, you know?
And they liked him, so he actually performed well. You know, choosing a point guard, you're just going to be starting a rookie point guard, and that is usually disaster.
Well, it already happened to him with Michael Carter Williams. So, you know, I don't know if maybe they have cold feet of doing it again.
So unless you're, you know, a John Wall, Kyrie Irving, Derrick Rose, you know, you're starting a lower first round pick as the point guard, you're just going to get eaten. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think they might address that through free agency more, and you just go for you fill out the rest of the roster. So I think you go shooting this one.
Let's go with the Clippers here. Now the Clippers have had a history of just rotten picks: Reggie Bullock, CJ Wilcox. They barely played either of them. They moved one of them, and so. It feels like they do need somebody that can help them out, you know. So what do you see here with the Clippers? I mean, do you just see them making even, like, a smart pick?
Well, I think everybody, the smart picks are all gone.
Yeah, you like Bembry, but he would be gone by here.
He would be gone by then. Bembry, Torian Prince.
I like Torian Prince here because I think one of their needs is small forward. You saw the fact that they had to play Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce might not even be back. You know, he might retire. As an aside, since you're a Boston guy, is it time for Pierce?
Yeah, he had nothing left in the tank.
Have you been watching him on the finals coverage? You know, does it seem like he has an eye for broadcasting?
No, I haven't. I just tune in for the game, and then that's it. I don't need 20 hours of pregame, and it's just, he could be, I don't know. You could say he was good, you could say he was bad, but like, yeah, I can see that.
Okay, excuse me about that. And so for Torian Prince at Baylor, I watched him at the Goodwill Games in Canada. He was their best player. Now, let me tell you, they didn't have the greatest players on that team. They had, like, Caleb Tarjewski and Anthony Randolph and Bobby Brown. Do you remember the old guard, Bobby Brown? Mm-hmm. Not Whitney Houston's husband, Bobby Brown. And then they had Ron Baker and a couple other players, but Torian Prince was the best player. He was a gamer. At Baylor, I felt like he was a little bit out of position all the time, where Scott Drew didn't put him in a position where he could be a prolific guy scoring or rebounding. But I think he's just a really good player. So you like Prince here?
Yep.
Okay. Let's go with the Sixers here. They got this one from the Oklahoma City Thunder. So we said McCaw was a good pick because you need a point guard, but a shooting would be helpful too. So they went with this one. But what do you go at number 26?
I go with Luwawu.
Timothy Luwawu out of France. He'd be gone by here too. I mean, that's kind of – he might even be gone earlier than that.
He might be gone earlier, but it's just the way this – you know, today's – we could do this every day and come up with completely different –
of course, yeah.
It's just – that's just the way this year has gone, and especially, you know –
now, he played in Serbia, but he's from France, right? Yeah, yes. So what's the kind of the upside with Luwawu compared to, let's say, Korkmaz?
Korkmaz is more of a I'll say Gordon Hayward, just a complete sort of player, whereas Luau is a little more
bouncy.
Yes.
Okay. He shined in the Euro camp, I heard. Luau did. So that really helped him out a lot.
And that's the one, in case you need to put a pick overseas for a year, this one might not, you know,
the worst idea, yeah. All right, the Raptors kept their pick at number 27, even though they got that ninth pick from that, you know, the trade they did with Bargnani and the Knicks. So what do you do here with the Raptors? I mean, they might not even keep the pick. I would actually go with somebody like Paul Zipser, you know, out of Germany.
Oh, this is going to be the one. Everybody here has just gotten lazy. This is the, oh, they'll take Thon Maker because he's Canadian.
Okay, so what do you...
Everyone is, I've seen that so many times, and I was like, yeah, makes sense.
So you like Thon Maker here, or do you...
It's a cheap pick. You have, you know, you have your stupidly named Raptors 905 D-League team an hour down the QEW.
And he is sort of a sensitive personality in terms of, or he's a sensitive prospect in that he's so young, you want to kind of play with kid gloves, you know?
Yeah, so you put him in the D-League, straight D-League for the year, you do the Caboclo thing, they know how to do
it. He's 7 foot
one,
I mean, 216 pounds is incredibly thin, but he just turned 19 years old. I mean, he's a kid, you know?
Yep, and there's no comparison for him. What is he like? Who can he be? We don't even know, because he's playing against Canadian high school kids, most of which aren't even, you know, going to do anything.
Yeah, even Canadian college ball is bad. You know, Canadian high school ball is, I mean, Jamal Murray was killing those kids, but, I mean, he was a special player. I mean, he was playing for Team Canada in the Goodwill Games, and he was good, so.
Exactly. So this one just seems like a lazy, safe pick.
Okay. The Phoenix Suns have the 28th pick from Cleveland because Cleveland is allergic to draft picks because they have no money to use. So what do you have here with the Phoenix Suns? We projected them to take Henry Ellenson at number 13 and to take Marquese Chriss at number 4. Let's go with one of those internationals. What about Juan Hernan Gomez, a big man shooter?
Oh, San Antonio's not going to like that.
Well, no, they got some more here. Or you got Zubac, who a lot of people think will be gone by this point anyway.
Zubac, they already got two big men, and they don't. This is there's nobody really good for them. Mm-hmm. They're sort of, this is a very tough pick. Go with Hernan Gomez.
So now, what's the difference between him and Willie? I think Willie went to the Knicks, but he didn't come over. So what would be the difference this year between Willie and Juan? Juan's more of a shooter.
Juan is a stretch four. Willie's just a straight up center.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird for the two guys that haven't come over yet to be so different. But it'll kind of be interesting once they finally do, if they do ever, you know. We'll see with Willie. The Spurs at number 29, I mean, seriously.
Are now hurting.
Now, listen, they need athleticism. They need athleticism badly, and they need to bolster their bench a little bit. So let me tell you this about the Spurs. They won 67 games, but they do have some team needs.
Well, if you're going to lose Duncan and Ginobili and – Tony Parker's nowhere what he used to be.
How about someone international that you can get right away, you know?
I heard Zipster wants to come over this year, but I don't see him being a first-round pick.
Okay, and Zubac's still there.
That seems like the best Euro available.
Okay, so let's...
Coriander sort of fell.
Yeah, I think... Are you talking about Peter Cornelie?
No,
Isaiah Cordinier. Yeah, he's like a guard because he's you got to play him at the guard spot, you know. And remember, Nando DiColo will be available again. You know, we'll see if he. I think he might.
He's not coming over.
Yeah,
he said.
The rumor was that he was going to stay anyway. So.
Because yeah, he had a very bad experience. So
yeah, he got bent.
That seems to be the best international available, unless you sort of want to be cheap and I guess maybe Ben Bentel.
You know what? I'm gonna override it. I'll go with Damian Jones. I think Damian Jones, they can get in like an athletic big, someone who can play right away, instead of trying to go for these cheapies like Jonathan Simmons that play over their heads but aren't talented enough to make a difference. So I'm going to kind of just go ahead, override that, and I'll go with Damian Jones. And, I, you know, 7 foot, 244, I mean, he's a strong dude, you know.
That's not the best Euro available.
Let's go with the Golden State Warriors now. They pick Kevon Looney. They kind of have a history of really going for it with their draft pick, you know, at least getting somebody that they can at least bring in to, like, teach them, like James Michael McAdoo. Looney was hurt all year, barely played. What do you see here? Because they do have needs. I mean, they had like, the best season ever. But, like, they still have needs. Harrison Barnes might leave in free agency, but you're not going to get a go-to starting death lineup small forward, you know. And you need a center, though, you know. And it showed in that it showed in the finals when Bogut went down that they were so desperate they had to play Varejao at times. So
the thing with Looney is he has so many hip problems. They don't know if he could be anything.
Yeah, so.
That was a potential pick, like, oh, if he was healthy, he could be a lottery pick. But 1 year later, we still don't think he's healthy. I'm gonna go with Ben Bentil.
Ben Bentil, because he can shoot threes.
Because he can shoot threes, which what Golden State wants, and it just, you know, for him to come out, it didn't. He has to have some sort of first round guarantee.
Was Bentil helped by the presence of Dunn? Like, would he have been this kind of prospect without Dunn?
Well, the thing is, you watch towards the end of the season, Dunn sort of started to fade, and Bentil was the one who was taking over.
That's true.
So it's sort of a 50-50 one, but I think Bentil sort of, you know, you always need some, especially with Bogut going down, and I don't know what his contract status is. Varejao is free agent, and... You know, Marquise Spites isn't really.
Yeah, and I don't. Well, Spates is a free agent too, so he might get overpaid. You know, now we still have some good point guards on the board as we go into the second round. We got a few. We're gonna kind of go a little rapid fire here because obviously we said from the top we were gonna go a little long, but we're gonna go pretty fast on this one. So
second round is just literally throwing darts at a wall.
It's literally the first billiards almost. You don't know what you're doing.
The first, let's just talk about the first four picks because those are the ones that really people care about and trade, and those are the real super value picks.
Those are the picks that potentially you can bundle together, like the Celtics at 31 and 35, and you could turn into a first, you know, and move back in. You know, if they really wanted to do that, which I highly doubt since they have like three first round draft picks. So this is
where the highest international guy usually goes. So whoever buys this pick or with the Celtics choose, it would probably either be Zubac or Juki.
I'll say Juki. I think a lot of people like him. He was the only international invited in the combine and he's
Yeah, but no people think he might be 22.
Yeah, the rumor is that he's not 20, that he's 22 years old, that he's actually 22 or 23 years old, which would really hurt his stock because, you know, kind of like Yang Jilin, you know, it doesn't help you if you're older and you're at that, you know, at that stage in terms of your body and your core and your strength and all that stuff, you know?
So, yeah, I think this is where, you know, this is the internet. This is the one where people fell from the first round because, well, they weren't scouted. We spend our time looking at guys we think we could have gotten. Well, we didn't look at somebody
now,
who's going to
I am kind of interested in what the Lakers do here because, you know, you've got Ingram, but this is your only other pick. This is the new era. You know, you got Luke Walton coming in. What do you like here? Like a shooter? You know, maybe another big man to go with Julius Randle? I think it's important that they get someone that can help them as soon as possible.
This I think might be Zimmerman.
Okay, Steven Zimmerman out of UNLV.
Because he fell from, you know, I think I'm higher on him than you are.
Uh-huh.
You seem to be very low on him, but I think
you know what's
this...
weird is that I'm high on McCaw and you're high on Zimmerman. They both played at UNLV, you know, and they're both kind of got buried for the same reason. UNLV had a bad year. But they knew how to recruit guys.
Yeah, and this is somebody, you know, he's not a stiff. And this was sort of like, oh, yeah, Diamond Stone sort of falls down to this area because he's just a big guy who doesn't really.
He doesn't rebound.
He's a slow big guy, and that's sort of old school. Whereas Zimmerman has some nice footwork, and I think this is sort of his area.
Okay, the Clippers at number 33, they got this one in a swap with the Brooklyn Nets, where they traded between 25 and 33. So,
how about Baldwin here as a CP? As Austin Rivers might be gone because somebody might be dumb enough to pay for him.
Here's my honest opinion. I would be surprised if Baldwin fell to the second round like he did here. But you know, things do happen. You know, I mean, even Demetrius Jackson not being gone, it shocks me. So,
well, then if this weren't, you know, we could easily swap our mock draft right now and put Baldwin in for Memphis and put Tyler Ulis.
Yeah,
here.
And that
seems just as equally as plausible.
Yeah, like the Hornets taking Jackson makes sense. You know, like we can see a bunch of things.
You know, I just, you know, every once in a while, you know, the draft does, it never goes exactly as, there's always one like home run pick here, home run pick
Jared
there.
Sullinger, remember that?
It was Sullinger fell to 20th because of he was a top five, and then Paul Pierce fell to 10th, and still nobody to this date nobody knows why. And Caboclo goes from he's not on our draft board to he's a first round pick.
He was in basketball without borders. No one even knew who he was. What did Frank Fraschilla say? He said the real Frank Fraschilla.
2 years away from being 2 years away.
2 years away from being 2 years away. Awesome quote. Phoenix Suns at number 34. Now we're sort of reaching here. You know, you need defense.
Well, this is you sort of pick, you know, again, you're high enough where you could get somebody who can, you know, this was the big baby Davis was here. This was, we're in the area of Jay Crowder was sort of, you know, he was a high second.
How about Wayne Seldon at shooting guard, an athletic guard?
Wayne Seldon seems fine.
Because he didn't work out a lot because he was injured. So not a lot of people saw him, but he's a really good athlete. I saw many games where he was the high flyer of the game, you know. The Boston Celtics, again.
Gershon
Ubisell.
Ubisell.
Yeah, another French player. The French players are – how are they going to – I mean, this is not indicative of the French Olympic team, but do you see potential here with France?
Well, it's not the French. We're going to have an Olympic special before.
Yeah.
Which you're going to be, which will just be, you know, tune in just to see, you know, Andrew try to pronounce these teams and figure out where they're from. But it's sort of, you know, we're not seeing Spanish people anymore. Now we're seeing all these young French. The French team isn't, they're having a lull right now, but yada yada young up-and-comers.
Ubisoft is one of the shorter ones at 6'8", but he can shoot. So that's a really good, and he's looked good in the workouts. That's another reason why he's been rising. The Milwaukee Bucks at number 36 got this one from the New Orleans Pelicans. And in the one that we had earlier, we had Jaylen Brown at number 10. So you need a shooter. So what about
Chris LeVert?
Caris LeVert, yeah, who you can play at the two. So that might make sense.
He was doomed with an injury, so is one of those if you buy his stock low.
Well, the thing with LeVert is that he can play the one, but he can also lock down at the two.
There we go. Yeah. What does he play? We don't know. Put him on Milwaukee.
let's go ahead and with the Rockets. They got this one from the New York Knicks.
Oh, straight Demetrius Jackson on this one. They'd be super thrilled to get him in the second round.
I would almost call it a steal, but then again, they thought Ty Lawson going to Houston was a steal. So, I love Demetrius Jackson. Okay, I think he's a great athlete. I think he was one of the main leaders of that Notre Dame team, along with Jerry and Grant and Pat Connaughton. I'm not sure about Zach August, and definitely not Steve Vastoria, who's still in college. But Notre Dame, that was just a loaded team that they had, and this is like the last remnants of that loaded team. So, you know, Demetrius Jackson. Really nice player. He's a lot stronger than people think. He's small at 6'2", but he's very, very strong. Very, very strong. Mm-hmm. Let's go with the Bucks again. International,
either Zipster or Zubik.
Let's go with rebounding since they need that so badly, and go with Ivica Zubak. So.
Because I think with so few internationals, they're going to go higher. Because usually internationals are the 45 to 55 range. This, I think, they're going to be people are going to go from early.
Much, you know, in case they come over and they don't want to stay overseas. Because sometimes that happens where they don't need to do.
They just never come over. They never develop.
And then sometimes they don't even need the buyout. They just come over anyway. You know, or they're free to come over. Like Giannis Antetokounmpo didn't have a buyout. He just said, "I'm coming over. I'm ready." you know. Mm-hmm. So it happens. The Pelicans, this is weird. They have two picks back-to-back at number 39 and 40. It's a little too low for them to be able to package to a late first unless they have to throw somebody else in there with it. But let's just say they keep the two picks because they got one from Denver in a previous trade, and they got the other from Sacramento in, I think, part of the Tyreek Evans trade that they did back in 2013. So let's just say they keep the pick, and, you know, we had them picking who did we have them picking? I totally forgot already. We had
– I would say –
You said Dunn. You know?
Yeah, we had Dunn, but I would say Diamond Stone – nice little safe insurance pick.
Okay, a scoring big. He's really that's really what he is. He's got very small hands, but he's got scoring ability. He's just not a good rebounder yet. That's his biggest
problem.
You
just need, you know, with some practice and training and he's a solid backup.
You need a scorer at the five, you know, badly. So it does address a bit of a need. And for the second one, let me see here. You've got we talked about their team needs being center and rebounding. We'll go with another rebounder. What about Joel Bolonboy from Weber State?
Okay.
You know, a guy who really played well at the combine, four-year player out of Weber State, played over his head, a little bit undersized at his position. I think his height is at 6'9", which is not great for a center, but he does play. He plays naturally like a five. He's almost like one of those players that plays bigger than he is. You know, whereas Diamond Stone plays smaller than he is. He thinks he's like a power forward, but he's not, you know. One guy that's kind of fallen all of a sudden is Shinanu Onuwaku. I think it was probably because even though he looked good in the combine, he looks like a natural big. He can block shots. He also does underhanded free throws, which I think a lot of people are going to like.
Well, the issue was the heart issue, and especially now with, Rooks?
Sean Rooks, yeah.
With him dying of a heart thing, people, that's going to be the, oh, wait, we are now scared of this. And
So you like the Magic here with Onuwaku? Another power forward, or do you see something different here?
That seems fine. Onuwaku, Pascal, Siakim.
Yeah, Siakim is more of a natural rebounding big. You know, out of New Mexico State, but I'll just go ahead and take a reach, and I'll just say here we'll go with Onuwaku. Let me see what do we got for the next pick here.
Next up, we have
the Utah Jazz at number 42. So we said they need shooting and they need a guard.
Gary Payton Jr.?
Gary Payton II? Okay. He's actually might be – I can't believe I'm saying he might be more athletic than his dad. You know, I mean, Gary was a great athlete. You know, he was great at everything. He's a Hall of Fame player. But, I mean, Gary Payton II can fly. There's a couple of ones where I saw him get major, major dunks on guys.
He was just the late developer, really. So, you know, that's why he's – really sort of low because he didn't really come on until this year, and especially at Oregon State where you're not really.
And he's a stat stuffer. That's another thing about Gary Payton. He's a little small at 6'3" for a point guard, but maybe you can make it work. I think he will be picked. I definitely think Gary Payton is one of those names you will hear on Thursday. Absolutely. The Houston Rockets, we had them taking a point guard in Demetrius Jackson who had kind of fallen there. So what do you see at number 43? They need another big badly.
Pascal
Siakam, not Zuki.
Zuki, we have going to the Celtics.
Oh, we already picked Zuki out of here.
Yeah, you had him with first pick of the second round.
I believe.
This
is our first. This is our first spreadsheet meltdown. early second round was our first spreadsheet meltdown. So that's actually not bad.
As opposed to last year, we fell apart and picked five.
We picked five guys that weren't even in the freaking running. Why do you like Siakam more than guys like Isaiah Miles and Perry Ellis, though?
Because he was just I don't want to say he overachieved at New Mexico State, but he was just a pure rebounder.
And he's originally from Canada. Marvin Menzies, who's now the head coach at UNLV, by the end of all the fallout at UNLV, he wound up becoming the head coach, and he recruited a lot of guys out of country at New Mexico State. Because I mean, seriously, who wants to go play at New Mexico? You know, you got to kind of reach to go get guys. So he would get a lot of guys out of Canada, and one of the guys he got was Siakam. You know, and he had a really, really good year his last year, his senior year at the WAC, or it may have been his junior year, and he came out a year early. But, you know, I think he's another, just like Gary Payton II. I think he's a name you're definitely going to hear. I don't think he's going to be winding up on the cutting room floor. Let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks. They got this one from the Washington Wizards, who have no picks. So, what do you see here? I had him taking Bembry at the first round. What do you see here?
Double down with shooting. That's the Atlanta way. Zipster.
Okay, so Paul Zipster. Okay, out of Germany. Which, and by the way, they have another German player in Schroeder. So maybe it's a good fit. You know, remember they did that with the Spurs. Did that with DiColo, where they're like, oh yeah, of course they took a French point guard. He's like Tony Parker's like chauffeur. You know. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and move on now, because now we're kind of moving fast. With the Boston Celtics, they got this one in a trade from the Memphis Grizzlies again. So let's just go ahead and just kind of like get together who we've already got the Celtics taking. We got them taking Buddy Hield.
Who don't we have them taking?
Buddy Hield, Deontay Davis, Ante Zizic from Croatia, I believe, Zuki, and Gershon Yubisel. So that's a lot of international. So now you need somebody who can actually. Now you need somebody who can help you. What about Malcolm Brogdon?
But you're not going to get anybody with this. The thing is, they don't have enough roster spaces for all these picks. Mm-hmm. So especially if you're having a second round, you're just going straight, you know, overseas. So it has to. I would say even either Corniel or Cordiner.
You're killing these names. Cordinier. Cordinier and Cornelie. So you want to go in another international?
Because, you know, again, depending upon what they do the game part, you're not going to keep all these picks, and they don't have – if you're going to go on the assumption they're going to keep R.J. Hunter, you're going to keep James Young, you're going to keep Jordan Mickey on the roster, you don't have these spots for them. So you're not – you have eight picks but three, four spots maybe. And, you know, what do you do with Amir Johnson? Well, he was your best only rebounder. Well, you're not going to get rid of him and his $12 million deal just to pick, you know, a second-round pick guy who's going to spend his year in
Maine. Yeah, let's go with potential there and then go with Cordinier. You know, just as kind of like a diversion. You got, like, an international guard, you know, just in case. Again, you know, they were already looking at Korkmaz, so maybe they just go with...
Well, these are also, you know, these are assets. If they do something, bam, now you could trade that for next year a first-rounder and package him.
Mm-hmm. And let's move on down to...
Dallas.
The Dallas Mavericks. And this is their only pick, and they have... They need a point guard badly, and they need a center badly.
If Kay Felder falls to them... They would be, I think, ecstatic.
I mean, he had the best max vertical in the combine. He was a four-year player out of Oakland, and he was a star. I remember he almost single-handedly beat Michigan State at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Really, really good player. I mean, the reason why no one saw him is because I think he was in the same conference as Valparaiso. Valparaiso had a great year, and then they lost in the conference semis to somebody else. But Felder is just. Really good play. He's very short, though. He's just like Tyler Ulis in that vein. He's
5'9", and just...
He's tiny. He's 5'10", like 5'10", 5'9", and he's 177 pounds. So, you know, not very heavy either. So, you know, you're going to have to work with him a little bit, but and he's like Ulis, he's got a niche because he's so small, but you can do a lot with him. And he can score. He can score. You know, he's just a... It would be a nice value pick for the Mavericks, and they need a point guard so badly. So it makes sense. Let's move on to the Orlando Magic at number 47. They got this one from the Chicago Bulls. We weren't absolutely sure about it. We went best available.
We went Scal. Again, they don't need somebody, so this is just.
So let's go with a shooter. You know, what about?
Okay, if somebody wants to, if you're going to get somebody who's going to be in here, you got Whitehead.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about. Isaiah Whitehead out of Seton Hall. A lot of people questioned him even staying in there after the combine because he wasn't that impressive, but I do think he will get picked. You know, he's a Brooklyn.
He wasn't that, but it's just one of those, if you're content being a second round pick and working your way through the D League, it's just, you know. You don't have that much of an upside as of now, so it's just, well, now you just need to work hard. If you think you're better off being in the D-League as opposed to being in the Big East.
Okay. And then we got number 48. We got the Bulls. They got this one from the Portland Trailblazers. I think Malcolm Brogdon makes a lot of sense here. You know, if you, because you need another guard just in case. He was a 4-year player at Virginia. He got better every year. He was their star player. He's a decent shooter. He's not a great shooter. He can make a mid-range shot, though. He's not explosive by any means, but defensively, he's very, very good. So I would personally go with Brogdon.
Okay.
Unless you had somebody else in mind.
It's a second-round pick. You can name anybody.
And let's go ahead and go with the pick that's that the Pistons kept. You know, they were one of the few teams that just didn't move any of their picks. The Pacers right below them were the other one. So the Pacers, we said the Pistons were going to take Denzel Valentine with their first round pick. What do you got them at number 49 with?
Well, if you want, you know, backup point guard, obviously the best would be Isaiah Cousins.
Yeah, he's a taller point guard, right? Like at 6'6".
Well, he was just overshadowed by Buddy Hield. So it's like, you know, how bad is he? No. Another thing what might be sort of out of the box, which is sort of the Detroit way now, it would be Dorian Finley-Smith.
Well, it would be also the three, you know, kind of start the trend of the three name player, because they have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope too, right?
But he's just a guy who just shoots threes,
incredible athlete. In fact, I'll put Dorian Finney-Smith right here with the Pacers, because I think that Finney-Smith will get picked up. You know, he didn't play great at Florida. He actually, I think, played 5 years because he originally played at Virginia Tech. But he was one of their best players this last year, the first one without Billy Donovan in a long time. But he played – he was really, really good with the athletic testing. He looked like he could jump out of the gym. So –
Another Celtics pick.
Oh man!
You're getting just angry at me for keep picking international guys.
That's okay. So I mean,
so how about let's go with Carter Jr. then? We'll pick, you know, just to make you happy. Uh-huh. We'll pick one local.
Robert Carter Jr. has got like 10% body fat. He's like the opposite of Dorian Finney-Smith. He's not super duper athletic, but he's just got a very smart game. Like he's.
Well, yeah, but look at the same. You know, it's that just sounds just like Sullinger.
Do you like Carter Jr. more or Jake Layman?
I like Carter. Yeah.
You Jr. think Layman will wind up getting picked somewhere by the time we're done? The other Maryland player.
Could be. We got enough picks to go. I'm running out of international guys.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see Danny Ainge going with that many internationals.
He's not going to go with that. He's not keeping 8 picks to begin with. All these second round ones are going to be sold straight up. Especially, like, you know, these points, you're going to have the Knicks, you're going to have Oklahoma City. Like, oh, we need somebody. They're going to be selling these picks off. So we're just, you know, we're picking somebody because we have to pick somebody.
Okay, the Jazz need scoring and they need a guard. We already got Gary Payton the second, but how about they double down and they get Cat Barber?
I would have said you sort of go with a more safer I am forgetting his Seldon.
Oh, Wayne Seldon. Well, he went higher, so he's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah, I picked him with the Suns at 34.
Oh, we have spreadsheet
meltdown.
Number what two. About,
what
okay.
About, what about Troy Williams from Indiana? If you want to go with like an athlete.
No, we could Cat Barber seems fine.
Now you know what's,
another
you
person know what's, don't know why he
you
went.
Know what's weird about Barber though? He's a guy that plays. You know how they say he plays bigger than he is? Well, Barber plays smaller than he is. Like he's 6'3", but he plays like a Kay Felder type. He's like a volume scorer. He's really, really fast. And you know they do need some team speed on that team. So maybe Cat Barber here makes sense. Okay. You know, he went early. He left. He left as a junior and signed with an agent. He was pretty confident with his agency that he was going to get picked up, that he was going to get drafted. So let's just give him the benefit of the doubt. And then after that, with the point guards, it starts to get like the next ones after that is like Julian Jacobs, Yogi Ferrell, Ryan Arcidiacono, who he was the MOP of the Final Four, but I don't think he's getting picked. Okay. Nope. But let's just – so it's getting really, really bare at the point guard spot if you have any needs. But let's go with the Denver Nuggets at number 53. They got this one from the Charlotte Hornets.
Peter Cornielli, this is their second-round pick, Euro center stash. They've done it with Joffrey Laverne and
that's another and
Jokic.
That's another French guy. Laverne's a French guy too, right? So yeah, it kind of makes sense there. Let me see as I clean up my
Atlanta.
What's that?
Atlanta is next.
Atlanta Hawks. Who was that first one we said? Zipser? Because he was German, and he go.
They got Bembry in the first round, and they got Zipser in the second.
I think Perry Ellis makes sense.
Perry, I could be talking to Ellis. I could also be talking to AJ Hammonds with the impending loss of.
He's 278 pounds. That's like pro wrestling.
That's a big boy, but they need size. So I might have to go Hammonds over Ellis because Ellis sort of, you know, it's like one of those like, well, what is he going to give us? And
I mean, there were some moments with Purdue where, I mean, he looks big on paper. He looks big on paper and he looks big on the screen where it's like, oh, he's going to destroy this guy. You know, he's a mismatch. He could be a mismatch at times, but he's got a huge problem with like personal motivation and being a head case big time. I mean, there are some games where he didn't even get double digit rebounds, which is just unacceptable for a guy like that on the college level. You know, just absolutely unacceptable. Let's move on down here, and we'll be talking about the
Brooklyn.
And it's their only pick. They got this one in that swap deal with the Clippers, where the Clippers wound up getting their pick up in number 33, and this is the Nets' only pick at number 55. So they need something. So this is actually kind of important, unless they move up.
They need somebody, and this is sort of, I would say, Perry Ellis for this one, because they need somebody who just produced. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think they can be like, well, we need to hit the fences. We need to pick a developer. I think they just said we need somebody who could score.
And I don't know if you're, like, privy to the college, like, the, you know, college Twitter, but there's just a lot of, like, laughs and yucks that Perry Ellis is super duper old, that he's been at Kansas forever. He's only 22 years old.
Yeah, but he looks like he's 42.
No, but 6'8", 220 pounds, post guy. He can make a three every now and then. Defensively, he's got issues, but he's, you know, he's kind of like, in a weird way, he's like Buddy Hield to me. He's about as good as you see him right now. Whatever you see out of Buddy Hield, that's what you get. Same with Perry Ellis, you know? And it's a Kansas guy, so, you know, Kansas guys always get picked in the second.
Nice, you know, he's a character guy, and he might be... I don't know. Fitch there. Now back to Denver.
So Denver has another pick. They got this one from the Thunder. And, I mean, now at this point, you're just picking favorites. You're just like picking guys that you just like.
Sheldon McClellan
from Miami. Another guy who's like a, you know, here's the thing between him and Dorian Finney-Smith. Finney-Smith is a really good athlete, but he's a small forward. You know, I see him playing at the three. Whereas with Sheldon McClellan, he can play the two. Because he can make threes, so you know it's I like him there. You know, he's a guy who played really well at Miami, but in the workouts he really helped himself a lot. You know, whereas a lot of guys really hurt themselves, like Daniel Hamilton. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We'll talk about Hamilton in a minute. I don't know if we're gonna wind up picking him. It's gonna be hard. One guy I like is Elgin Cook, but you know, and I think the Grizzlies would be a nice fit there. You know,
I thought Tyrone Wallace would be a better fit for
Tyrone
them.
Wallace. Now that's the one that came from Cal, right? He was a senior, broke his hand.
Yep, he was a senior and just overshadowed by the
and
two
then he
freshmen.
Broke his hand in the tournament, he broke his hand right before the tournament practice, and they lost to Hawaii. So you like Tyrone Wallace here?
I like Tyrone Wallace because he has size. He could put the one or the
you
two.
You know, he's sneaky. Like, you know, you watch him play and you don't think much, but he's 6'5". I mean, that's a big, yep. That's a tall dude, you know? We're moving on to
Boston
Celtics again. They got this one from Cleveland because, like we said, Cleveland's allergic to draft picks.
I'm going back to international. Let's go Georgios Papadopoulos.
Papa Giannis, which will be great because if he comes over and Giannis Antetokounmpo dunks on him, we can do the headline Giannis over Papa Giannis. Because it just makes sense.
So again, all these picks, you're not keeping.
I mean, but
all
that is kind of like Mamadou Ndiaye, who we haven't talked about yet from UC Irvine. I mean, when you get past 7-1, then it turns into sort of a fascinating prospect. Like, you know, Ndiaye is 7-6. Papa Giannis is 7-2.
Yeah,
and he's only 19
in.
Years old. So it's not the worst project at the bottom of the draft
Nope, and, you know, it's just one of those picks, if it never goes off, he'll just be one of those. They traded the, you know, the rights to, you know, 2004 pick.
Like Baby Shaq, right? And then there was the other one that that the Mavericks had. And I'm totally forgetting who it was. It was like a Greek player that never came over. Like, he was a big dude. It was, if anybody has the history books there, he was picked in the early in the 2004 draft, and he never came over. But he was just like one of those just big, big dudes that never ever saw. Another one was Fran Vasquez with the Magic, you know.
Fran Vasquez.
And then there's the Sacramento Kings. They got this one in the Ray McCallum trade late in the year from the Spurs. So for the pick that we already had him taking, and that was in the first round at number 8, way at number 8, they had taken Domantas Sabonis. So what do you see here? It's not like super duper. Let's think about this, but they only have 2 picks.
Who do they take in the first round?
They took Sabonis. You know, they need defense and they need guard play. What about Michael Gabinejay?
Okay.
I mean, he's older though. He's 24 years old.
Or you could just go Jake
Lehman. Okay. Another small forward, huh? Basically a baby Stauskas, a baby Sauce.
We're just, you know, you need somebody at the second round. He's
pretty athletic though. You know, I've seen him get up a couple of times. You know, he's not like the, I mean, he's white, but he's not like a total slowpoke. I'll say that for sure, you know. Let me see.
I'm still stuck on this mysterious Dallas player who from Greece in the first round. I can't.
Are you looking at the 2004 draft?
In 2004 they took Pavel Podkozy, but he was Russian.
Oh, that's the one I'm talking about, the Russian player.
Oh, that's why you said Greek. I'm like, there was no Greek. They got, you know, Pavel, who had like a pituitary issue, and he was like 7 foot,
yeah,
5, 300 pounds. And
yeah,
just...
breaking news. I got my nationalities wrong again.
it confused me. And he did play in Dallas. He just did absolutely nothing.
All right. And then we got one more pick, and that's the Utah Jazz. They got this one in a salary dump when they traded Brandon Rush and somebody else in order to get Andre Iguodala signed. So this is the Jazz's.
This is the usually the
Mr. Irrelevant.
You know, the NCAA guy who overachieved but fell through the cracks. So who's the best guy left? Miles?
Either Isaiah Miles or Jameel Warney.
Miles. Okay.
That was DeAndre Bembry's teammate at St. Joe's. They almost beat Oregon in that second round game, and they beat Cincinnati in the first round. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but they have a camp called the Portsmouth Invitational, which is for college seniors. And
yep, and that's everybody dumps out of that, and nobody.
Yeah,
knows.
And Miles played really, really well in that one. Another, you know, and this will give us an opportunity now to talk about guys that we didn't pick. Or we didn't wind up picking that, I think, whose names you might hear. Another guy that was really good at the Portsmouth Invitational is Bryn Forbes, who was like a shooter out of Michigan State. He had one game, I believe, where he made like 11 threes in a game. So he's there's a couple of names you got to keep an eye on.
And then there's the obvious mistakes like Quarterman and, you know, Yankovic,
maybe this is my bias kicking in with the LSU, but I just don't see Tim Quarterman getting selected in the draft.
Nobody pictured him getting selected. Everyone's like, why did he do this?
It just doesn't make sense. But let's talk about some of the ones that we didn't wind up picking that we might hear their names. Okay, Fred VanVleet. Let's talk about both of them, Ron Baker and Fred VanVleet from Wichita State.
Baker, this was supposed to be his year. He could slip into the end of the first, and he did absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. So he just disappointed. Van Fleet was it's one of those names like, he's sort of a second-round player, but it's just like, there's nobody left to take.
What about some of the internationals that we didn't talk about? Rade Zagorak from Serbia.
He could probably be taken. We picked a lot of just, local guys. Him with and Michael
Gabinejay.
Those are names we probably will hear in the second round because, we just picked a lot of local domestic players. Like, basically, I think since so many internationals pulled out, I think those who are in are like, you'll get a second round pick.
I don't know what we're talking about, but they had 33 international withdrawals on June 13th, which is a lot more than we expect, meaning there was only 13 international prospects, a lot lower than normal.
Yeah, I guess people just aren't content being.
They can make money elsewhere, when I guess, you know?
Yeah, just having their names because, you know, it's, well, these, you know, Europe now was like, well, we want you to sign 5-year deals.
Just give me some names, maybe 3 or 4 or even more, if that you think that you might hear. You already talked about Gabinage, and you talked about another one. Give me a couple of more.
Oh, I don't. It just seems like now we've sort of hit the end of the mm-hmm. line of just players who are gonna really. There's just a lot of. I don't want to say, you know, the people who went out earlier were just mistakes, yeah. And maybe there's an super outside chance. Julian Jacobs from USC.
He's athletic. Like, he's probably. He might be. Along with Kay Felder and Demetrius Jackson and Chris Dunn, he might be one of the most athletic point guards in the class. Like, he can fly, you know?
You know, you're high on Roscoe Allen. I'm not.
I like him just because he's 6'9". You know, I mean, you could play him at the power forward spot if you have to.
Daniel Hamilton probably will be. He's probably a safe second rounder.
Yeah, I think he'll get somewhere, but he did not help himself by signing with an agent before he got to the combine.
It was just disappointing. Like, he did nothing at the combine. It was just, why did you come out? Yeah. And, you know, he'll get picked, but it's just none of us are, you know, we're not excited about him. And, you know, it's the second round. So, yeah, he's probably a safe mid-second rounder. But, well, you know, Celtics aren't keeping 8 of their picks. Well, yeah, but somebody's going to be like, we'll pay $1 million to get mm-hmm. him. I could see Oklahoma City or... You know, the Knicks being like, oh, yeah, I want him.
One that I don't think will wind up getting picked, even though some people are high on him, is Jared Otaw from Iowa. I think he's going to wind up getting the shaft. And George Niang, who had a great career at Iowa State, I don't think he's getting picked either. You know?
No, I don't see. There's not like.
He's 6'9". He's just a little too small to play the stretch four, you know?
You know, and the thing, you know, like, we had, you know, every year there's, like, you know, Cliff Alexander. How didn't he get picked? And Upshaw, we had character problems, but he had the talent. And this,
who's,
you know...
this year's guy doesn't, where you could see him just not getting picked at all?
Just falling out completely?
Yeah, maybe Isaiah Whitehead.
Anuwaku, I would say, just because the heart thing, that might literally just scare everybody. And it'd have to be one of those, well, I'll be a free agent and I'll show you and I'll be...
I get the sense that he got a promise. That's why he signed with an agent. Because he played well in the combine before he had the operation.
He played well and he signed, but then, you know, again, with Rook's diet, it brings us back to the heart thing. It's just like, whoa, this is something. This isn't just a torn ACL. We don't know when that could go. Yeah. You have any minor? There's no such thing as a minor heart surgery.
So, what kind of, you know, when we're done with the NBA draft and we go to Friday morning, what are we going to be talking about the most?
What the Celtics did. If there was, did somebody make a mega trade? And it's basically, everybody's now is like, well, what are the Celtics? This is the Celtics draft. They are in control of everything that happens here because. You know, they control the second tier from 3 to 7. They control the second half with 15.
I think the biggest question, I guess, in terms of just the player pool, is who took Jamal Murray and who took Buddy Hield? Because after that, things really kind of go crazy, you know?
It's just, if you're going to tune in for the first 7
That's
picks.
That's where the intrigue is. Because, I mean...
And after that, you could just read because it'll be all players that only we seem to know.
Last year, it was intriguing from Jump Street because, number one, you had Towns, but then no one was really sure about the Lakers. And then they took Russell, and the Sixers took Okafor. And then you started seeing a lot of people taking some risks, like the Celtics took Terry Rozier. And I'm trying to remember a couple of the other ones that were kind of interesting, like the Washington Wizards taking Kelly Oubre. You know, there was a couple of ones that kind of made your head spin.
Well, last year was just a big point guard. There was a heavy point guard, all of which weren't good, but that's why I was like, you know, Rozier went like what? Did you have your heart on Cameron Payne? Need another one? Oubre might have fell. It was just one of those Winslow fell. You know, we have our top four. We just don't know who's going to go with who.
And as we get finished, because we're now clocking at the 2-hour mark and we're about to get out of here. I'll just kind of hit some names for you on the 2017 draft. And it's very, very quick and we'll be getting out of here. Harry Giles at Duke. Markelle Fultz out of Washington, a point guard. Jason Tatum at Duke. Josh Jackson at Kansas. Frank Jackson at Duke. Dennis Smith at NC State, and then you got some sophomores and juniors like Thomas Bryant and Tyler Lydon out of Syracuse, and Edmund Sumner and Xavier Grayson Allen at Duke, OG Anunoby at Indiana, Caleb Swanigan and Nigel Hayes. They went to the combine and went back to school. Chris Jenkins, who hit that game winner for Villanova in the national championship game, Dwayne Bacon, Isaiah Briscoe, a lot of Kentucky freshmen like Bam Adebayo, De'Aaron Jackson, Malik Monk. Just give me a couple of names that you're keeping an eye on.
Those, you pretty much named them, and it was just going to be, the question can be, will Bacon improve his, you know, late first round status? And did, you know, Ivan Robb really hurt himself because he was really a top 10 pick?
And remember, they're bringing in a good one in Florida State and Jonathan Isaac, so he's got another guy to partner up with, you know. But that, let me say, the top of that class, excellent. Like, Dennis Smith Jr. and Terry Giles are really good. And there's a new – and there's a foreign prospect that's going to play in America this year at NC State named Ivan Yurtsevin, who a lot of people are high on too. So we're going to have some international flavor. You got those Oregon kids, Dylan Brooks and Chris Boucher and Tyler Dorsey, who are all coming back next year. Jerron Blossom game is a name I would keep an eye on. He played great at the combine and still went back to school. I thought he was actually going to stay in the draft.
Yeah, but he didn't. And then, you know, I'm pretty sure there's a couple French guys. No, is this the year of the Germans? There's a couple German guys, I think.
That they have on the international pool. And then yeah, remember, you got so many withdrawals. Like Marco Arapovich is a big name that we'll see next year. Igman Guven, right? Is that an Alpha Kabah? You might see a lot of those names next year.
Alpha Kabba, who,
yeah,
you know, puts his, you know, name in and name out, yeah, every other year.
Yeah, our preview next year is that for college, that if Duke doesn't win the national championship, something's wrong. Because you got Giles, you got Tatum, you got Frank Jackson, and you got Marcus Bolden, and you got Grayson Allen coming back to school.
Yep, they are built to do it. Yep. So,
and that's gonna be finishing up. Do you have any kind of ending thoughts before we close out this pretty extra long NBA draft preview for 2016?
We survived with very few
errors
yeah, this year.
Which is a miracle, a minor miracle. And I guess maybe we'll try to get together maybe in a week or so so we can talk about the free agency, because this is going to be a little wild, maybe a little bit of holding out because of next summer's cap increase and the fact that it's a much better free agency class. But we'll see, you know. Looking forward to it?
Well, let's just start with the draft. One step at a time.
All right, and we'll do that. And on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. Take care, everybody.